Hello, everyone. This is the increasingly misnamed Team ATL podcast. This time I've dragooned Keith Christensen into recording about a faction he doesn't play. I don't play it either, so we're just making things up.
Nobody does.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's only a half faction, just in terms of what's released. So I feel like we're at least a little bit justified in not playing it yet.
Right. I would agree. I was originally like, yeah, I'm totally going to play this faction. And I'm like, God, I would have to play so many heavies.
So
this seems punishing.
I've got to say it is. So the world knows me as a circle player insofar as the world, you know, knows me. But I also play War Machine. I play other non-circle factions at home in a less handsome and awesome guise. And in this guise, I have only played melee armies. I play Krix and, you know, circle. And so I'm trying out my convergence because I only play things that start with C. And, it turns out convergence is about shooting with your battle group.
In a lot of cases, yeah, I would agree.
To a large degree, you know, that they're a battlegroup-based shooting army, which is incredibly weird for me.
They seem, I mean, they're definitely, I'd say mixed arms, because they, like, every jack has, well, except for a couple melee bots, has solid guns and decent hitting power. There's nobody that's got just a gun, really.
Yeah, but, I mean, it reminds me of what you said a long time ago about melee dominance and melee submission, or range dominance, range submission, is that in conversions, it's reasonable to expect that in terms of heavies, you have range dominance.
I would say that's probably fair, as long as you don't run up against, like, Protectorate.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm shooting you, and they're like, I don't want to shoot me. Warpwolf runs up, and you're like, now I'm punching you. And I'm like, this is completely different from before. I didn't need to drag him anywhere. He charged me. All right, so let's get started. So the thing we do for those new to the podcast, which seems doubtful since I imagine it's the same crew that listens to each cast, but what we do is we go through each solo in the book and describe in how many of our lists this solo makes an appearance, and also sort of an overview of what it does and our general feelings on it. Keith, what do you think about the accretion servitors, a.k.a. the bodging servitors?
Bodging servitors, they appear in lists only that the Prime Axiom is in, and then only potentially. Cheapness is good, but you're not ever going to get work done with them. So,
I do kind of like that they can't fail.
Not failing is nice. I mean, we were talking about it was sort of talked about at the beginning that these are kind of like not damage resistance, but it kind of like DR for any of your warjacks. It's just like, especially the Prime Axiom is just like, I pop one out. And I take one less damage this turn, basically. Next turn, I take two less damage. And then three.
They're just and then, lining up behind it.
If you get in a situation where you can force a lot of action at one of your warjacks, then these can start to be useful. But go ahead.
You'll chuckle at this one. I was playing against an E-Scar player, and I got the jump on him because Syntharion can make things thread a long way, and I left the DJ at, like, two fucking hit points. And he feats, and the DJ does a bunch of damage and shit, and, you know, he's looking forward to another round of it. And then the servitors moved up and stripped it. Just straight up start actioned it out of existence, despite the feat, because it's not an attack.
It is not. Wow.
Can't fail. Have two damage.
I got two of them in base to base. I win.
What a surprising moment. They are, however, not good to have in a E-Scar game because they get fucking, what's it called? What's the spell?
They're an incredible perdition target.
Yeah, they're a perfect perdition target. 12, 13, and they're everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, seems bad. I don't see a lot of lists paying for these. I mean, if you end up with a spare point and you have no use for an arc node whatsoever.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, so that's our thought on the accretion servitors. Although, you know, three bodies for one point is, I believe, is that the best in terms of point economy that's ever existed?
Equivalent to Scrap Thralls, so yeah. Tied for the best.
What do you think, then, about the, list this name, the Algorithmic Dispersion Optifex? It's like a 10-syllable name for a one-point model. The Arcnode guy.
I mean, it's a one-point Arcnode, so I'm in. It has to be within 6 inches. A friendly faction warjack, which doesn't seem difficult.
Yeah, no. In convergence, that's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, for everybody but Directrix, they wouldn't mind having one. Because pretty much everybody has decent offensive spells. Like, Syntharion is definitely going to have these. Because he wants to get Magnetic Hold out there.
Yeah.
Lucant, take it or leave it. He's got one nuke, right? Is a pretty decent one.
Yeah, Lucant has the no arcing nuke, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's pretty solid. It's like a two-coster.
It's like a Pop 12. I mean, in general, in Convergence, you don't want to be casting spells because feeding your Vogues out to your battle group is more awesome. But
the Corollary does that.
After a certain point in time, like, say, two Focus and the Corollary, you've done that. And why not cast a spell?
Access wouldn't even mind because he's got that Battering Ram spell, which is pretty solid. And if he's pushing things away from those arc nodes, they can end up in weird places. And Aurora is a 7-focus caster with a pretty decent spray, so 1-point arc nodes seem effective.
But for all that talk of seem effective, did you put them in anywhere?
I put them in... Now you're gonna ask me questions like I remember what I built in my list. They're in Syntharion. They are in... I don't think they're allowed in Axis. No, they're not allowed in Axis.
Unsurprisingly, we both went with a tier list for Axis. I've only got them in my Syntharion list. I want to arc with Directrix, but it turns out that she makes that happen no matter what.
Yes. She does not need any help getting spells out there.
Weird trivia, she can arc through herself, but that doesn't help at all.
No. Two of my list, then. One made it into Aurora as well.
Yay, that actually makes sense. I should probably fix my list up to have one of those.
Yeah, I mean, the Magic 7 sprays are really good, just for fixing problems.
Aurora's still being built for me, so I've been playing a lot of Syntharion and not so much Aurora. So I perhaps do not have her down as well as she should be down. What do you think, then, about the Attunement Servitor, a.k.a. the Flare Servitor? A.K.A. The good servitor.
The best one, yes. That appears in lots and lots of lists. I mean, it became pretty clear to me that the whole faction was built around the fact that Flare exists.
Yeah.
Their mat scores are nothing to write home about, and their rat scores are abysmal. To get up to, like, the six. General standards of five. Bad, they need Flare. Lucant is a 3, for crying out loud.
I have a monitor with him. That's questionable.
It is questionable. Like, getting the Prime Axioms drags off. It's like, Flare and Boost, and then maybe.
Yeah. Possibly this can happen.
So, I mean, a lot of times I don't pay for them in lists, but Prime Axiom makes an appearance in several of them, so then they're obviously going to be around. And then I did pay for them, I think, in every list. I also paid for them in some of the lists and put them in Axis. Or no, but you can't take them in Axis, otherwise they would be.
Oh, yeah. I took them in two lists, and I have a Prime Axiom in a third list. So they're my best score so far of a 3. And then you said you had them in 2? Hello? Keith, can you hear me? Hello, hello?
We're back? Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
Did we lose the... Are we still recording?
Yes, we're still recording. However, this is a second recording, so...
Alright, you're gonna have to bodge them together.
I've got bodging capabilities. as long as they are not, from two different formats. That was why the last one had to go out in two recordings.
Oh.
Anyway.
Attunement Servitor, probably my favorite, or if not my favorite, one of my favorite solos for Convergence.
Fair enough. It is, it's that sort of excellent that you almost can't believe. You're like, really? Flare? For less than a point per model? Love it.
On a 4-inch AoE?
Yeah. Don't have to hit shit.
You can just drift this all over the place. It'll be fine.
Next up, we got the Elimination Servitor.
Now, this is interesting because it depends on... I have a couple different iterations of one of my lists and that of an Aurora list. And in one version, there's a bunch of Steel Soul Protectors. And then in another version... There are 9 Reflex Servitors and 9 Elimination Servitors. And I think I might like that version better. Because, I mean, if you think about it, for 6 points, you basically get a full unit of these guys. And they're 12-13 steady Pathfinders that do auto points to stuff.
True, true.
With a decent rat score that gets quite good when you consider the fact that Flare is everywhere.
Yeah, Cypher puts a Flare on something and then you do 7 auto damage.
Right. It would be nicer, of course, if it was Sniper instead of Puncture. But Puncture's okay.
They're less than a point per model. We can't really demand all that much.
No,
it's not like they can Flare.
I think these are the ones that are initially not going to see a lot of play, and eventually you'll just sort of see more and more of them, because they're kind of in that range where it's like, oh, this model seems like it will easily pay for itself. Like, all somebody needs to do is ignore it for one turn when they shouldn't have, and then it shot something and it paid for itself.
Uprun the errants, and you're like, okay, these things aim and kill a few. Okay, they're paid for.
Yeah, exactly. I like these a lot as well.
Fall down, boom howlers.
Do you have them in any of your lists?
I do not. Not a single list. But I do have a Prime Axiom, so I will never make one of these with it.
So for me, it's like half a list. They're in half a list.
Okay. I think that's kind of you. I've played them a number of times, just because they're out and, you know, a lot of the faction isn't. They're not dreadful, you know, that Azir should not be taken to be, you know, scorn and hatred from us. Just don't need them.
Fair. Fair enough.
What do you think about the Enigma Foundry? The mournful robot.
It's freaking amazing.
Ain't he, though? Never really did think that Mechanithral-style regeneration would get out of Krix.
And they definitely took pains to not make it that good. You can see that in the restrictions on reconstruction. It's not adding models to a unit, it's returning models to a unit, so you can't make... I was very sad when I realized that I can't make a 20-man unit of angels, which I really wanted to do.
That would have been pretty awesome. You just start killing them yourself and then, you know, scrubbing them into one giant death unit.
Yep. And be like, oh, it's a 12-man CRA from the angels. Like, what? Pew, pew. No, so sadly you can't do that. So returning means that the original unit still has to be there, which makes it more work, of course. And also the must be placed within 1 inch of this model, also within 3 inches of another model in the unit.
Yeah.
It makes it very unlikely to be able to do the threat extension that the Necrosurgeons can pull off.
Especially at speed 5.
Yes.
But on the other hand, unlike a Necrosurgeon, it will never get sniped by a Gunmage.
That's true. It has a bunch of boxes and armor 18. And it can be repaired.
You know, I just realized I'm asking for it. If you get a brutal shot from a Gunmage and he rolls an 18, he can kill you with one shot.
Yep.
That would be a hell of a shot, though.
The other thing that I like, that the silver, and they also, unlike the Necrosurgeons, have a cap on their... what they can hold.
Yeah.
Which, there's actually a silver lining to that, is when you're playing multiple Enigma Foundries, that they will police themselves, so you don't run into the situation where you've got the one Necrosurgeon that's carrying 15 corpses and the other one has zero.
I have two Necrosurgeons, one has one, the other has 9.
Right. So that doesn't happen. One fills up, and then the other starts grabbing if they're in range.
I also love that they can repair each other if they're standing in a line, and, you know, some don't have corpse tokens, they can just start fixing the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So these made 2 of my lists, I think.
I only have them in one list, but I bet you can guess which one that is.
I bet it's Axis.
Oh, how does he know that you've been watching? You're spying on me, Keith. Next up, we come to the Reflex Servitor, which is the funniest concept, I thought, in the entire Convergence. And I've used once to kill an Agonizer, which was among the funniest things I've ever seen.
And pretty good for a Convergence list.
Oh, yeah. You know, Cyntharion's sitting there, and Scorn run up on him, and here comes this Agonizer, and it explodes. And the face of my opponent, as he realizes that the Synergy Battle Group will be allocated full focus this turn, instead of no focus, is just priceless.
Yes, that's much better than no focus.
You know, looking back at Morrel, he's like, wow, I probably should have feeded, huh? Everything's dead. Oh, no.
That was worth a third of a point. Or 2/3 of a point.
Yep.
This is another one of those models that occasionally you look at, like the Elimination Servitors, that paying 6 points for what basically amounts to a full unit of these is not a bad, it's not a bad plan. Because I can just sort of advance 6 inches and dig in, advance 6 inches and dig in, and it gets really annoying real fast.
I love that they have advanced deployment. Fucking Protectorate at this point in time is somewhat starved for advanced deployment. I'm sorry, not Protectorate, although they are too. Convergence.
Yep, there's not too much of it. They've got the Angels, they've got these guys, and then some Theme Force benefits.
Yep.
A couple of the Theme Forces get moving real quick.
Yeah, no, I took Aurora's Theme Force mostly because of the Tier 4 benefit, which speeds up your heavies.
It's very nice. I think currently, though, they, like the elimination servitors, they've made half a list being paid for outright.
Yeah, no, I have them in no lists, although I do have a Primaxiuman list, and this is the sort of thing I could actually see building with one if there's a cluster of nearby dudes, and the Primaxium's like, I sure would like to blow those guys up.
It's like, if only I had an AoE gun. Oh, wait, I kind of do.
Yeah. I'm busy fighting this other guy, but for free, a bomb will appear and then blow you up. Go and claim a point.
I like the reflex servitors a lot. And I think I haven't really gotten to the point where I'm starting to think really creatively about convergence armies. I've just sort of been thinking mechanically. And I think when you start to think more creatively, some of these things that haven't been appearing will start to, and I think reflex servitors are definitely one of those.
I mean, I think we're both on the Axis tier bandwagon for now, but eventually the notion of a list with Axis that had, you know, a whole squadron of reflex servitors and his countercharging battle group seems hilarious.
Yeah, I have trouble with Axis sometimes. I'm not sure where to rate him currently. I mean, we'll get there, but we'll talk about that later, I'm sure, but...
So speaking of guys I'm not sure where to rate, I'm not in love with this next model. The Steel Soul Protector, he just seems really mediocre for me for 2 points. You know? I mean, I'm not in love with him.
I very much like the fact that it has 8 wounds. 2 points for 8 wounds seems good.
Skinners and the Trolls are 2 points for 8 wounds.
But they don't have reach, nor defensive strike, nor shield guard. I mean, those are good rules. Those are all things that I like.
I do like reach, defensive strike, and shield guard, but defensive strike with a POW 12, MAT 7, that doesn't get any better, is a little bit meh.
It kills dudes. I mean, that's what you're expecting it to do, is kill troopers. To kill incoming infantry that's coming after, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I may be a bit spoiled here, but for 2 points, I'd like a spray. You know... If I'm going to buy a solo for 2 points, I'd like him to be able to kill a number of infantry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, because your expectation on this guy is that he gets 2.
On a good day.
Because he can charge and kill 1, probably, and then defensive strike to get another 1 before he goes away.
Well, if they counter with infantry.
Right.
You know, he doesn't necessarily require, you know, a heavy could bop him.
Yeah. But I mean,
he is a shield guard, though.
If it's worthwhile to play him as a defensive piece, him slash her.
He's sort of a cheap poker. I guess there's that to say.
Yeah, and actually just as survivable as a poker. Possibly actually more survivable because he's repairable.
I doubt he'll be repaired all that often. But, he can keep Iris from shooting you, which is always nice. There's a lot of disruption on guns in, like, Signar. You don't want to have happen to you. You know, the strikers have disruption guns. Iris.
Yeah, I think I would have to see the faction. I really want to sit down and play with them to decide how much shield guarding I'd want to be doing. Because even if you can buy your Enigma Foundry another turn, a lot of days, that's worthwhile. If you're playing them outside of the Axis scenario.
I hear that.
You cannot take them.
Yeah. Axis is just like, conservators shield guard for them. Weird, but true. So I've got them in only my Aurora list, and I only have 1 there, just because it's required for tier.
Yeah, I currently have them in 1 of the versions of Aurora. And 1 of the versions of Aurora don't go all the way to tier 4.
That makes sense. Stealth for the Angels is nice, just on the base of it. So, wow, what do you think about the battle engine?
I love this battle engine. I think it's a lot of fun to play, and I think it's probably going to show up there is to end up being considered one of the best ones outside of the Protector Battle Engine, which can't be even close to matched by any of the others.
I would tend to agree that it is one of the better battle engines. I'm greatly impressed with its having 3 free shield guards, and making a really cool, very variable range attack.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's got the ability to clear a lot of infantry. It can dent heavies.
Can put some damage on casters by, you know, upping the accuracy.
Yeah, absolutely. Rat 4 base, so, I mean, it's going to be shooting at Rat 6 much of the time.
Mm-hmm. Rat 6 with 3 dice to hit, 3 dice to damage, 2 shots if you put 1, or 3 shots if you put 1 in all 3 form, zones.
Yep.
Totally legit.
Or I think a lot of the time you'll end up doubling up on hit dice if you get jammed by infantry. You're like, oh, it's Texas Raiders, cute.
Yeah.
Let's roll 4 dice to hit against all of these.
6 plus 4 dice is a 20. I understand you have some sort of stupid rule or whatever. Goodbye. One thing you got to remember about this guy, though, is that he can't charge.
He does not have gunfighter.
Nope. Now, he can make range attacks even while in melee because of his gun platform rule, but he's not charging anything. And if he runs, he doesn't have his shield guard, so he's a very deliberate piece.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, just be careful of that.
After its normal movement, you place 3 permutation servitors, so if it doesn't, if it runs,
right,
there's no opportunity.
Yeah, because at the end of your run, your activation is over.
Got it. Interesting. So it runs on turn 1 if you're going first.
Yeah. Thereafter, it just strolls forward. I like to think it makes the same sound as the blah noise when it fires. What is it? Oh, the noise the Reapers make. You know, when they shoot their big guns in Mass Effect.
I don't play Mass Effect.
What's wrong with you?
If we want to make StarCraft analogies, I can do StarCraft analogies.
What makes a cool nothing really in StarCraft sounds like this thing in my mind, but it's like a blah, you know, a big klaxon noise. I put this in one list.
I'd put it in Directrix for sure, just because Directrix generally improves everything. I could also see playing it with, question mark, playing it with Lucanta maybe?
Sure.
Because it seems good to decelerate this thing.
I don't think anyone's going to be shooting it. You know, it's got 3 shield guards.
That's
three shield guards. You know, the first 3 shots on it, or the 3 shots that it decides to ignore are literally gone from the game. You're not even damaging a shield guard. Because the models instantly reappear.
Right. Unless pieces can take them out with less effective shooting before they start shooting Ravagors at the...
Yeah. Some Striders walk up and cap down the Def 12 Arm 13 guys. That's totally legit.
Unless... What does it get for being behind them?
Extra shots.
Extra shots. So if it's just going for extra shots, it's...
Yeah, they're pretty safe.
Cyclones are safer.
But I feel like in general it doesn't need deceleration as much, just because 3 shield guards is a lot of shield guards.
That's probably true. So Directrix does the most for it by having harm.
Yeah.
Followed by question mark. That's probably why it's only showing up in one list at the moment.
I mean, Lucant gives it the +4 armor on his feet turn, you know.
And auto repairs if it has suffered any damage. Aurora does nothing at all for it.
Aurora's like, would you like a refuge? Because you can have that. That's kind of cool.
Has the razor wall, which is kind of neat, so that it's mostly safe from melee and mostly safe from shooting.
Yeah, Axis also has a burning need for anything that can shoot. You know, I've had him be like, diffuser 1, aim, boost hit. Diffuser 2, aim, boost hit. Come on, Rat 2, you can do it.
Rat 2 really can't do it.
Well, if you're aiming, it goes to 4. If they're flared, it goes to 6. If you're rerolling because of luck, and you have 2 tries, you can usually get the free charge even with Axis, if you take 2 diffusers.
Sure. Sure. Oh, but, and Directrix also has Tactical Supremacy, which is nice for something that's so pokey.
Yeah, I could see Tactical Supremacy on this guy. That seems actually really good. Although, he might not be able to go anywhere after he creates his servitors.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Like, he thumps them into play, and then they just sit there, right? I guess they'd get to move, because of Tactical Supremacy says that all the models move, but I think they're solos.
Yeah, they're definitely not.
Yeah, they're solos. No, he'd be kind of trapped by his servitors.
Yeah, they don't activate.
I mean, this isn't quite So you haven't really listed these casts before, but the great shame of the Team ATL cast is that in most of the casts, at some point, someone begins slowly counting out loud on the air.
Slowly like, counting out loud?
Let's see, how many lists is my Reeve Hunter in? 1, hold on, I'm looking over, 2. So, we've at least avoided that, although we are, you know, strategizing on the air, which is, what does this rule say? Let's both read it.
Cyntharion has magnetic hold, which is good. Makes it hit more, I guess.
Yeah, minus two defense, but
and that's all. So yeah, probably Directrix is the only one that jumps out at you as being like definitely put.
Hey, Directrix loves guns.
A TEP with me. I don't know. This guy needs a nickname.
He's a giant dick, right? I mean,
the projector.
It's an enormous phallus-shaped tower that shoots a burning ray across the field.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
It is the tep of the cock. In both cases, referring to by the abbreviate transfinite emergence projector. Thanks, DC. It is my very great hope he never hears this. All right, let's move on to talking about units. What do you think of the Clockwork Angels?
Clockwork Angels might be the most versatile of their units, the ones that probably show up in the most places, just because these are in the whole Convergence faction, this is like the one of these things is not like the others. It's like,
yeah, it's,
we're a bunch of slow, mopey, inaccurate dudes.
Robots.
Alright. It's like, oh, and then we have these angels that fly really fast, have guns, reform, high defense. It's like, oh, okay, so if I want to mix things up at all, I need to use these angels. Check.
Done.
Of course, the Aurora theme force is, I'm not sure that it's obligatory, but it's really, really good. So they show up there. I ended up putting them with Axis because he can take them. There isn't a list that I would, that I'm 100% against putting them in because they're very self-sufficient.
Yeah, I love that they have reform and range 10. Being 13 inches away from the things that you shot is almost gun mage level.
Yeah.
Now, of course, being rat 5 is not gun mage, but as we all know, it may very well be flared and, these guys might be aiming. I've gotten a lot of hits with them.
And they can also, the whole unit, because they only cost 3 points. So yeah. if you want a CRA up to kill something important, like, oh man, we see a junior.
Hey look, it's Gorman. We can fly 7 inches forward and shoot his ass.
Yep, 3-man CRA. We got him.
Fuck off, Gorman. We'll trade 2 points for three all day.
Yes. Call that good. So yes, these made two of my lists and I would consider putting them in more. I love these.
I have them with Lucant and Aurora, of course.
Yeah,
so two for me.
Really strong on them.
Also, just my Lucant list is very slow and like stompy, so I was like, oh god, Walter calls out for AD Stealth Pathfinder. This is as close as you get in this fucking army.
Yep. Yep. Also, yeah, the flight is very nice. They have a fair amount of solutions for terrain problems, but never hurts to have some models that just don't care.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, oops, Cowboy, like, shot the Optifex Directorate. That's cool. There's a wall between us now.
Now we have a problem.
We will stand next to this wall and fight them over it. Also, I like their the fact that they're fearless because they're robots. That's just cool.
That's going to be a consistent theme amongst all of these. Fearless because of robotics.
I've had so many blood trackers break that it hurts my soul. So
and you don't have to worry about getting excarnated.
Yes, also that, because excarnate does not take a soul token, and I don't have to worry about awe, which is my main thing, because I hate the Harbinger a little
bit. Yes, everyone does, except for those who play her, and I think they should.
I mean, aren't they, like, subhuman? Don't you think that Harbinger players are...
A little.
You know, just worse than other people? Like they should be in a special tax bracket where we take your car and run it over with a lead thing.
Sorry, sir. Martyrdom.
You apparently martyred for the book and told your opponent that he was in the range of Lawgiver's Creed when he tried to cast his teleport spell. You know that's a federal crime. It's actually treason. When he tried to back out, you pointed at the avatar and said, it's looking at you, and made a peekaboo motion. I don't even know what to do with that, sir.
There are definitely some things about Harbinger players that we all wish we could change.
Like, right? They breathe, for example.
I think your hatred has gone beyond my own, but that's only because up until this point, I've had Epic Asphyxius who just solves the problem for me.
I urge you to share a meta with Brian White for, you know, 4 weeks.
Only 4 weeks? That's all it takes?
He maintains this spreadsheet of like the number of games that he's ever played in War Machine, mm-hmm. and you can sort it by, you know, opponent, and the last like 75 fucking times I've played him, it's been the Harbinger. I played every Circle Army against the Harbinger you could ever play against the Harbinger. It's intensely aggravating.
How's your record looking?
Like 1%. I think I've won 3 times out of like over 100 games. The Harbinger, in my opinion, beats the entire Circle or Boros if you do it the way Brian does.
That seems bad.
It's hateful. It's we've gotten off the topic. What do you think about Eradicators?
I don't like them.
Why not?
They are... I guess these are not the worst, because they at least have armor 17 on the approach, but...
I mean, just mat 9, that's the highest mat in the conversions, right?
Sure.
And
what do you need mat 9 to kill? And why Chaozi. Can't I just kill that with my Cypher?
The Chaozi are...
With Gorton, I guess?
Yes. how clever of you to realize that that was the rub. I was thinking that Lucant could actually make these guys pretty cool because positive charge would first off make them mat 11, which is hilarious, but also they'd get that plus 2 to damage twice.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, however, ultimately put them in Lucant's list. So I guess I did not put my money where my mouth was.
Yeah, my problem with them is just that you're looking at medium-based infantry whose job it is to kill other infantry.
Yeah.
It's hard to come out ahead when that's your plan. Especially when they end up being armor 15 after they go in to do work.
I don't want to sound mean, but these guys are worse Tharn Ravagers.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, like, they are more expensive, they threat less distance, they're less survivable. They are not AD and not true. 13-14 is better than 12-15.
12-17 most of the time.
Okay, 12-17. Maybe they're equally survivable, but they cost more. You know, 6-9 gives you 3-5 instead of 4-6. I really do think that these guys are not as good as Tharn Ravagers.
Well, that is quite bad.
Which takes you to a special place. Look over at the Ogryn boarding party like, man, PP really can fuck up some medium-based infantry when they get their minds to it.
And the Ogryn boarding party aren't even as bad as... Wait, the Black Ogryn boarding party? They're fine. They cost 6 points.
How many lists do you have them in?
I don't play the casters that would play Black Ogryn.
It's a revealing format, isn't it?
Interesting. Interesting the way that you phrased that. They're not as bad as...
I'm going to get to the ATC. He's going to have Scar with, like, 3 max units of Ogryn boarding party or whatever the fuck. He's like, it's the boarding by night tier list thing. Like, this is a joke, isn't it? Yeah. The display board flips over and E. Gatsby's on the other side. A cruel, cruel joke.
Yeah, no, I don't like...
I don't have Eradicators in any lists. You don't have any?
No, none.
Okay, no Eradicators. But props for having a cool name. Looking kind of cool. What do you think about the Obstructors?
Obstructors. For 4-6, these guys have pretty much everything I could ask them to have. Shield Wall is... It's a situational rule on them, but they'll probably use it at least once a game.
Reach,
of course, always good. Chain weapon, often good. CMA, yeah. For 6 points, it's hard to complain about these guys.
Yeah. I've only managed to take them in my Axis list, but I don't hate them. I mean, they can't pierce the thickest armor, but they'll get the job done.
Yeah. Command 7 is a little bit...
Yeah.
It's a little bit Crixian in nature.
At least they're, not breakable, so you get the Crixian bonus too.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, super solid.
Do you have them just in your Axis list?
Yes, just in Axis at present.
Here's a weird question. In terms of the game, and all of the 4-6 reach units, you know, 4-6 cheap melee reach units are running around, what do you think is the best?
4-6 melee reach, Steelhead Halberdiers.
I agree. Although it is a bit of a cheap question because the retribution ones with the pikes, what are they called?
Are 4/7.
House guard are 4/7.
And are much better.
considerably better. That one extra point is really getting you quite a bit there.
Yep. And access to an astounding unit attachment. Yeah.
That UA is glorious.
But if we're talking 4/6 non-reach, then we get to talk about blood witches. Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan. I mean, they're just like bad blood gorgers.
Oh, danger.
No, come
danger,
on.
Danger, Walter.
Instead of being terrifying and fearless, you've gone to the models that... You know, we'll have a Crix cast at some point, and we will work this out.
Okay. Can save this for another time, then.
Table that discussion. I will, however, point out that I am the champion of Dragon Con. For the last 2 years running, I've won the Dragon Con tournament with my Venithrax Tier 4 list, which has 2 units of max Blood Gorgers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doesn't have any Blood Witches or whatever.
Interesting.
So now you know. I will expect your mailed apology. But moving on, before we allow you to talk back, what is up with the Optifex Directorate?
The Optifex Directive.
Oh, good point.
They're not quite choir combined with mechanics, but they're really, really good.
They're living, which is a bit weird.
Yes, they are living. They are not fearless. So they're like the kids that nobody likes, I guess, in the faction. And they just have to walk around fixing stuff.
I have them in all 5 lists.
They did not make Axis.
Huh.
And they did not make... Aura?
It's not quite Counting on the Air, but I feel that you've got the spirit of this. I love that they're repaired bots in addition to solving your magic weapon problem and, giving you Pathfinder where you need it. I just think that's really good functionality on a 2-for-3 sort of a thing. With, yeah.
And they're good.
With Iron Sentinel.
They have the 8 skill. Oh, no, they're in Aurora. So 4 of the lists, I guess. They're everywhere. Everywhere but Axis.
I don't know if you read the guy's fluff, but he's apparently a lunatic. It makes sense that the guys who are alive might be like, we're going over there, away from Butcher Jr.
Yeah, he's not, I don't think he's quite that unbalanced.
No,
he's unbalanced by the standards of a bunch of scientists.
Yeah, exactly. You could totally imagine him being like, I built a Frankenstein monster, as opposed to being like, I murdered the other scientist with a bench because he looked at my axe funny. Did you read the Butcher's novel?
I did not.
There's an awesome bit where, spoilers everyone, he goes into a bar and he's in there with Lola and people are looking at her funny and, he eventually, they start dancing and people start to clear the dance floor and like, you know, scoffing at him, and he eventually like defends her in a corner and beats everyone in the room to death with his fists. And then the haze sort of clears and he realizes that Lola's long dead and it's his axe. He's been waltzing with his axe, and then, when a fight broke out, he protected it. He defended the axe and beat everyone to death with his fists.
That sounds approximately par for his course.
Because he's the Butcher and he's out of his damn mind.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Butcher 3 rules, although I think the dogs are going to be disappointing, as have been pretty much every member of a Warcaster unit.
Hey, we've got the Harmbots here. You can't complain about
best
that.
Best one so far.
I'm thinking the dogs will flank with the Butcher rather than vice versa.
Yeah, I'm not expecting great things.
I could see him being pretty good. I do like the idea that the Butcher is just like sliding down the chain of the Kadoran military being ever more embarrassed by him. You know, it's like, wow, he's kind of crazy, but he's got Iron Flesh. All right, we're cool with him. Next thing, like, this man is a lunatic. Doom Reavers can hang around him. In the last one, they're like, we have these dogs. This really dodgy circle guy was trying to buy Jax or whatever and traded us Arguses. We didn't give him a Jax, but he didn't seem to care. Have some Arguses, fucker. They have 360 vision, too.
He ran into Grail, who was looking sad.
Grail was like, have you seen my tier list? PP hates my guts. Grail is the sort of caster that if you play a couple times, though, you come to appreciate him. He wins desperately, regularly enough that you realize it's his plan.
to win desperately.
To be like, I'm going to charge up and gallows this model. My punching of the guy that I charged will now be killed, which will cause my feet to move this warp wolf. The, you know, Wold Warden gallowses the guy again, and the warp wolf is able to get in, and yay. Like, he does very different things from the rest of Circle does, and his games tend to feel bad at the beginning, but having this sprinting weapon master, a lot like Ryas, the game improves as it goes on.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that. He's one of those casters that has actually personally useful.
Yeah.
Which is nice to have. And he's got stealth, which you can appreciate.
But he has the same problem that all the can. Here we're going to speak about Aurora too. PP has tried to make the I'm a personal melee caster a zillion times, and the ones who aren't Wrecking Balls tend to live at the range where they will be assassinated by, you know, Mullet Carter, whoever the fuck.
Right. And also the ones that are not, you know, monstrous tanks tend to just die to whatever.
You know, you're like, alright, Ryas is living up right behind the line. If you put a beast on it, she charges up, eats its fury, and sprints away. Grail does a similar thing. He doesn't eat the fury, but, you know, he can sidestep around shit. And they're both dangerous and stuff, but you realize that you're 6 inches behind the front lines, and then you face off with Makeda too. And you're like,
I guess I'll go stand in the back and not do anything.
Yeah,
this game.
I'm 12 inches back. Go away, clouds! Ha-ha!
Makeda, notorious for the cloud wall.
Yeah, it's... Sometimes Grail has nothing to spend his focus on. I gallows that model. That's an infantry model. Yeah, it's my only attack spell. Alrighty. So
next on our list is Reductors.
Oh, no, you're right. Reciprocators.
They are glorious. As bad as that other unit of medium base infantries are, these are good. These are so good.
Nah.
What's wrong with you?
These guys don't hit as hard.
They're 14-20. And they hit harder. These have the ones that are... These are the ones that have damage. The other ones have accuracy.
I know, but... A POW 14 versus two POW 12s is not really necessarily harder.
I suppose it depends on your target.
And they will not often be arm 20 because they, you know, shield wall with a speed 5 unit is kind of tough to have happening all the time. Now set defense is certainly something, but their mat is only 7 instead of 9. Like, I don't think it's as big of a deal. The biggest thing I see for them is reach versus two attacks.
Love reach.
Yeah, a lot of love for reach.
I like these guys with at least two of the casters. I would consider building an Aurora list out of theme, and I've talked to John a bit about this. Aurora brings a lot to the table for the medium-based infantry. She can boost their attacks while they're still in shield wall.
Yeah.
She gives them moving 7 inches in shield walling instead of just 5.
Also, she wants to do the Ikaya hit and run thing, and you know you're in a dreadful place when you're like, I'm kind of like a worse version of Ikaya. But if she does that, she runs out of the zone. So someone needs to stand in the zone while her battle group is hit and running. And,
yes.
It seems like Reciprocators could do that. Also, refuge on shield wall unit seems cool. You all spread out, kill people, and refuge back together.
Yep. So these are definitely in one of my lists. They're currently in Lucant.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't resist the arm 24 dudes.
The arm 24 dudes that have that recur, like if you kill them, they come back. Seems bad.
With full hit points.
Yep. So, I mean, really, I think if I'm wrong about any of the other medium based units, it will be because of recursion. Bringing them back it seems really good. But it seems better on the reciprocators because I feel like they're better than the other ones.
I feel like they are about the same level as the Eliminators, but I ultimately did like them a little bit better, just because reach is a drug. I mean, I know sidestep is lovely, but God, reach.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
What do you say about our next... Oh, I'm sorry, I had them in one unit, just Lucant. You had them in two?
One, and then some theory that I haven't... Yeah. I haven't put any of it into
I mean, the models don't exist yet, so yes. Unless you're like, these skinwalkers are really reciprocators, you know. I guess for you to be brute thralls, or do you even have medium base? These arc nodes, these 5 arc nodes represent reciprocators.
I have skinwalkers.
Oh, right. I thought you just used Will's list. I thought you were just actually borrowing it.
I did at Adepticon.
Oh,
but
God.
Now I actually have my own.
Do you realize Pagani is apparently playing Convergence nowadays? I saw him posting on their forum.
Yeah.
imagine what he's going to come up with. I'm going to see, like, the Axis list, and he's going to have everyone convinced that the, I don't know, assimilators are the way to go with him or something.
Well, I've got his Lucan list.
Lucan is really good.
So, and he says, I'm the list that I have, because I didn't want just my take, so I grabbed a couple other people's opinions on a couple lists, and I brought his Lucan list to talk about. So.
Masked galvanizers.
All right. But yeah.
I live in expectation. All right. Reductors, what do you think?
Again, for 4-6, there's not a lot to complain about here. They've got spray 6, which is obviously especially
yeah.
here. But it's POW 13, which is really good.
And clear.
And clear is the best possible rule to have on a spray. Especially when you're considering that you, at Rat 5, you really want to get them to be able to aim if they can, which at spray 6 seems extremely unlikely, unless you're placing them with Enigma Foundries, which I feel like is what you want to be doing with these guys.
There's also a lot of just like, assholes charge my front line, okay, the back line aims the back of my front line, sprays them.
Right, they seem like a pretty good companion to the reciprocators, actually. It's like, I have a unit of reciprocators, followed by a minimum unit of reductors and an Enigma Foundry.
Yeah, I may be biased by the fact that the Winter Guard Death Star is single-handedly supporting Kador, now for like a year and a half. But, when I see spray infantry, I'm like, wow, really? Nice. Loving it. Although, of course, the Winter Guard Death Star would obliterate these guys.
Yes.
Hey, look, our sprays go further and we walk faster and have iron flesh and extra dice to hit. Hey, but don't worry. We're 4-6s too. God in heaven.
UAs and stuff, they cost a little more, right?
Right. Once again, when you stop playing Gatsby as much, if that ever happens, you may discover a great new hatred for Reciprocator, or Winter Guard.
Winter Guard? I don't like
them. You must already hate them.
I do hate them.
I mean, you've played Pagani's Reeve list, right?
Yeah.
I can only imagine that the losses to Winter Guard must be rather intense among the Reeves.
I haven't actually played a Kador with Morvana yet.
Well, she could definitely purify Iron Flesh and kill a whole bunch of them with, you know, the Reeves.
Yeah.
That seems good.
Yep. Also death knelling them. It's also good.
Different worlds.
You don't think Reeves can kill Winter Guard, Walter?
No, I believe that Reeves can kill Winter Guard, but the three that are left will kill the entire unit of Reeves, who managed to cost more than the Winter Guard.
But then you can bring them back.
I suppose that could occur.
I very rarely feat to bring back Reeves.
It's
low percentage.
I am addicted to druids. Druids appear in my armies, and they occupy very much the same niche as Reeves. Not in terms of what they do, but basically in terms of their... like their point cost and, you know, sort of the part of the list that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of trouble fitting Reeves in my list. A couple times I've been persuaded by Brian's reports of awesome wolfiness to be like wolves and Reeve hunters. And that's, you know, kind of worked out.
I love the dogs so much.
Words never thought to have been heard.
Bark, bark.
It's okay, man. If you can't confess to your bestiality on a War Machine podcast, where could you possibly confess to it? Or did you mean something else by that?
I meant something else. That's okay. We'll roll with it. It's fine.
All right.
On to the least impressive of the medium base models.
I may be feeling contrary, but I want to give these guys a try. Perforators.
Okay. Okay.
Here's my thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of times, you're going to have people engage in combat with your guys. You know, it's just going to happen. And you're going to, once again, a lot of the time, shoot those guys with flares before, you know, you activate your heavy and start clobbering them. Perforator units do about the same damage as their points and heavies to an enemy model with their javelins, right? Each two-point perforator is going to pew with his javelin and do, like, 3 to 5 damage.
Let's see. Range, strength, what?
Strength 6. 8. six or eight. Oh, mostly they're
not,
six.
They're not throwing weapons, otherwise they'd be incredible. Power six, power eight. So yeah, they're gonna be against the normal 19, 10 dice minus two. So yeah, they'll hit for five or so.
So if you assault an enemy with these, you're gonna throw all five javelins, hit with like two of the punches, and do like five times five. You're gonna do like 30-ish damage. You know, you might not kill a jack, but you'll fuck it up. That's kind of valuable, mm-hmm. right? I mean, none of the other units can really do that. The harpoon guys don't do as much because you can't fit all five of them around something. The claw guys obviously don't do as much. These guys are the anti-jack medium base dudes.
If you can deliver their 12, 15 asses to the fight.
They have a long range in terms of spearing fuckers. Right, because you assault 8 and then you have 6 beyond that, 14 inches.
That's not that great.
Remember, though, that you have range superiority. The enemy's running up on you.
Hopefully. I'm not sure that that's true if he's spending 9 points on perforators.
Only in the convergence could you be like, man, I think you bought the ranged unit. You don't have range superiority anymore. I'm like, I see what you're saying. That makes some sense.
Well, I mean, they get dinged up by POW 10s, and I just... this is a unit where you will get behind in ranged combat.
I mean, we gotta say these guys are second wave, maybe even third wave. Like, these guys' job is to hit enemy heavies, so they can't be in the front where they're fighting enemy infantry, because they're fucking bad at that.
Yeah, very, very bad. I mean, they...
Rat 5, range 10, for 2 points, awesome. Ogryn boarding party, might even be better.
Yep. Needless to say, 0 of my lists at this point.
0 also at this point, but I'm intending to try them out at some future time.
I'm willing to be proven wrong. I always enjoy being wrong about something
readily imagine an enemy charges in on the medium base shield wall dudes and, you know, kills a few of them and is engaged in combat with them. And then hiding behind the shield wall dudes are these perforators. You salt into the back of your shield wall dudes, throw spears over their heads and fuck up an enemy heavy. After a cipher has dumped a flare on it.
I suppose it's possible. It's not the worst plan ever, for sure. And again, there are a couple casters that make them better. Magnetic Hold is obviously a very good spell in conjunction with them. True Path. Deceleration. Yeah. Maybe they'll live. Maybe.
Lucan's like, I don't know what to say, guys. I'm decelerating, you even plus 4 armor. If you can't be delivered with this shit, just give it up. God, Lucant is great. You look at him and you're like, why do you even have Watcher? And he's like, I'm just so good.
Just because I want my Primaxium to punch things in the face really hard when they come to try to kill me.
You came to try to kill me and it shot a tow cable into your sorry ass and dragged you out of range. Now you feel like shit, don't you?
Oh, that's a dubious proposition. And you're like, yeah, I'll get him with that Rat 3 while they're engaged.
Isn't it boosting?
Yeah, it's boosted.
I grant you, a dubious proposition, but if they're, you know, Def 10, could happen. They're 14 engaged, although they might stand such a way that they'd just be dragged into you, which would be bad.
Yeah, I'm more expecting that the Primaxium will just be defending itself, like, charge the Primaxium. It punches out your spirit. How do you feel about that?
I grab you with a claw. I love its drill hands. They're just so cool looking. What do you think about the transverse enumerator?
I think
you even
good.
Tell if I changed the words around if I was like, what do you think about the universe transverator? Would that sound equally silly?
You might be able to tell. Maybe.
I didn't take any of these guys, but I could totally have taken 2 with my Axis list instead of the OptiFex Directorate without really missing a beat.
Yeah. They've got several things going for them. Having a, what, is that a 8-inch? No, it's a 6-inch spray, but, and giving a unit ranked attacks is actually interesting.
Meh. You've already got clear on your ranged unit.
Yeah, I suppose. That's true. So the only time it's relevant is if you've got angels darting around behind the lines. I wish you could attack these onto Iron Mother Directrix. That would be amazing.
I think realignment is, you know, you're paying 2 points for that realignment. The reroll turn.
And, I mean, if you're attaching him to a medium base unit, he's fixing them.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, he's always one more repair guy.
Reciprocators walk, shield wall, get fixed.
Yep. He wanders over to a nearby jack, tunes it up. It's easy to imagine a situation where the enemy is like, I charge your Colossal and do 24 damage, and you're like, a Galvanizer and this guy and a nearby, you know, the respawn bot all put some fix on and has 10 hit points back.
Yep.
And it's Centurion, so it fixes itself. Like, I mean, there's a lot of fixing in this army. This guy's some more of it.
And I think for the first time we're going to see an army that's all about repairs in this, in kind of the same way that some troll lists regenerate a lot of health. This is going to be, they're
stop
just
eating
fix
my men
themselves.
I don't know how to say this, but you need to stop gobbling up my fucking blood trackers. we'll restrain your fucking cannibalistic impulses. This is becoming really bad.
There's an easy solution for that, Walter.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but that's still a felony in 4 states. Virginia buckled.
Oh, no, I was saying you could just play the shitty shrimp.
Like, oh, that's a much different idea from mine.
They can't be. See?
Yeah, I don't like to ever agree with other people, and Johnny at one point said shrimps were not bad, so I sort of can't consider them anymore. I live in a strange and circumscribed world, but I do believe that blood trackers in general are better than shrimps. However, you can turn them into zombie trackers if you need to.
I do love zombie trackers.
So much zombie. Such zombie trackers.
Zombie trackers are a mainstay in my Morvana army.
Yeah, that makes sense. P. Morvana in particular is like, finally, they can stop breaking. The number of times I've had literally immortal blood tracker units break and just be like, I'm so filled with hate. They have fucking regrowth on them. They will never die. All of them will always be back. And they became scared because nearby was a blood gorger.
Yeah, that can happen, I suppose. In Morvana 1 now, I'm so tempted to not make them zombified because I want to play Gator Alexia.
You don't take Morvana 1.
Why not?
I've never seen you do that.
Well, I've played like a grand total of 12 games with Circle or whatever, but in theory, when Gator Alexia comes out...
Ah, Keith, I could even tell that was a theory immediately. She cannot teleport. You would hate her. Although I did once die with her by transferring too much damage to a galleon and getting killed by the overrun damage that came back on me.
Can you just math that out? You overkilled the galleon?
No, I stabbed the galleon. I'm like, haha, I have failed to kill this stupid galleon. Now I lose the game. And my opponent was like, you sure do. Galleon clobbers you. And I'm like, fool, I didn't spend my last fury. Now I transfer to you. And he's like, what's your armor? I'm like, this number. And he's like, all right, 16 damage. I had 2 hit points left. And I'm like, and I died.
So the galleon killed itself and you?
Yes. It was a glorious moment. I think it fell on me. It's like, I'm so fucking smart. Look at me all. Wait.
Oh, no. Can you fix that galleon first, please? Can you just repair that?
Just repair it a little bit before it punches me. You know, maybe don't roll quite so high.
So that's all of the units?
Yep, that's all of the units. We're right on track here. We've been podcasting for about an hour, and we're halfway through. So moving on to the much cooler part of the conversions, because I think they are as warjack-based affection as I've ever seen in my life. Let's
Protectorate can run them up, can give them a run for it, but
yeah,
not really, and only because of this first one.
Yeah, I mean, earlier Brian was talking about a warjack list that had three heavies and a light in Protectorate run by Fiora, and you know, he's like, man, this is focused starved. I've got this Reclaimer to help out and stuff, and I'm thinking in Convergence that's very basic. You're not focused starved. Everything you want to do can be boosted with that number of jacks. You could probably do that with a 5 focus Convergence Warcaster.
But 3 heavies and a light?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need a corollary for that.
No, that Axis runs that shit on his own. Lights are free, heavies only cost 1, so if you're a 5 focus caster, you could run 5 heavies and a light. Done.
Yeah.
Probably the corollary could run that on its own.
Corollary can run pretty much whatever it wants on its own.
All right, let's talk about the corollary for a sec. You were the one to figure this trick out, or before I did anyway. Why don't you tell the corollary coolness?
Oh yeah. Well, sorry to bring this painful point up, but I got it from Pagani.
That guy is just... He is another human, like me. It's important to remember when you're talking that what you're saying is evidence.
Is evidence?
you know, it exists forever, so you should always say polite things.
Is being recorded. Check. Power transfer, range 5, target-friendly faction, Warjack. If the Warjack is in range, spend up to 3 focus points to allocate 1 focus point for each focus spent. The cool thing about this is that it's spending focus, so it also gets to do the,
induction.
The induction thing. So the corollary is always generating 1 more than it looks like. So yeah. with 2 focus on a corollary, you can run like 4 jacks. Without even breaking a sweat.
You don't give it any focus, let's say, hypothetically. It activates near your caster, it allocates itself 1. Then it advances and spends that focus to give it to a jack, which also gives it another one. So for 0 focus, you've gotten 2 free.
Yep.
And those jacks may give that focus on, but you've at least got 2 free focus for 3 points, which is glorious. And this is not the Squire. It doesn't get capped by a boosted POW 12.
No, it's got, what, 14 boxes?
Some large number. Time to count in the air.
18.
Yeah.
18 boxes, armor 15. Yeah, it's not dying to random stuff. It's going to take concentrated effort, and you're going to repair it when they try to kill it.
It can likely power the jacks that are repairing it. I like the idea that if your opponent was particularly, you know, new or playing a particularly poor list, you could just be like, the corollary is my Warcaster. My caster will spend no focus and do nothing, you know. Aurora lays on the ground here. Corollary activates, gets its focus, hands it out to the jacks, and they just go to town.
Yeah. And I mean, the worst, in a realistic environment, if you allocate the corollary 1 focus on your first turn, that's probably, in a jack light list, that's probably the only allocation you'll ever need to do. Because, especially toward, if you keep your positioning correctly, once you get to the end of the induction chain, the last Warjack sends one back to the corollary to store for the next turn.
And the next turn it gets another one, yeah.
Next turn it's at 2 again, and it's just eternal. It's just like, I hand out approximately 12 focus every turn.
I'm running this entire gun line. How are you doing, Directrix? And she's like, I'm boosting the hit and damage on my guns! Become an arc node!
And casting spells at mostly irrelevant targets.
Pew! Pew! So, this is the best 3-point Warjack in the game?
There aren't very many 3. Yeah, well, it's definitely the best 3-point. I was just considering the other 3-pointers.
Like, well, I mean, there's a number of good ones. There's the Helldiver, there's the Dwarfjack with that entirely boosted spray.
Yeah.
Previously, those two were very much neck and neck for the thing, but then, in this book, the title got overturned twice in one book.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And the other contender? Corollaries. How many lists you got? I had them in 3.
All 5.
My Axis list is a very Jack Light list, and Axis doesn't have anything to do with this focus, so I didn't put him in there. And Directrix, I think, with her giant focus stat, has enough to run her shit. But you can never be wrong to put a corollary in a list.
I don't think so, because I've always been, like, anytime I can get a caster who will be able to sling spells, I want them to sling spells. Like, that's why I stopped playing Stormwalls with Haley, is I was like, I just want to cast spells.
Yeah, this is lame. Anybody could be giving this focus out. I feel like
I'd rather be arcane bolting things.
That's always a moment of joy with a circle. Ebalder looks across the board at E. Haley and is like, what now, E. Haley? And she's like, druids rooting. I give the focus to my jacks. I'm like, yeah, aside from your feet, you could be anybody.
But yeah, with Directrix, I want to cast 2 Shrapnel Storms a turn. I don't have to allocate focus.
And you could dominate things or cast feedback. I mean, she's got cool tricks if the enemy's got jacks.
Yeah, absolutely. You keep Fire Group up.
Yep. Fire Grouping. Boosting the hit and damage on her God Gun.
Yeah, that gun is so good.
The gun, especially considering it can happen after she harms things, is fucking glorious.
Yep. And it's got an amazing name.
I can't wait. So next up, we've got the Diffuser, who is the other incredible 3-point model. If it wasn't for the corollary, I would say that the Diffuser is the best 3-pointer in the game.
Hunter's Mark and rerolling to hit on its, well, basically a hand cannon. It's 11-11 instead of 12-12.
For 3 points, and it can give away the 1 focus that it spends. So, it basically runs itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of the army as charging for free 2 extra inches because of this model. like, all of their heavies aren't quite fast enough and don't hit quite hard enough, except that you have to remember that they're all charging for free, so one extra hit with their main weapon and charging extra distance. Like, the melee battle group of this list wouldn't work without diffusers.
Not in a lot of cases, no. Like, Syntharion can pull it off, but...
Yeah.
Why he wants to go even farther, so he's going to take one of these guys.
He also loves them building up a synergy chain for, you know, 3 fucking points.
Yep. I think they're in, let's see, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome to Team Atlanta.
What?
I have them in 3 of my lists. In all 3 cases, they are doubled.
I have a single in 3 of my lists.
I like having 2 of them just because a lot of the time I like to shoot infantry with them. You know, the enemy's running up on me and I'm like, these fuckers aim. The jacks don't need to be doing anything this round, but they'll still kill a model each with incredibly high reliability.
Yeah. Yep.
Cannot say enough good things about the diffuser.
And it's not, where's the, and the gun is located in the head, which it's unlikely to lose.
Yeah, it's spread across 4 columns.
Although I'm not sure how these grids will work out as far as system loss or how frequent it will be.
I've lost the induction node a number of times, but the other 2 are pretty secure.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it.
Lose the movement if they hit you pretty hard on 5.
Yeah, I see that.
Lose the head, you have to lose an immense amount of the jack. Like, when you've lost the head, you basically have no jack left.
Yeah. I suppose 8 points to the 5 will lose you your movement.
Yeah. Much like the notorious 7 points to the 4 loses the arc node in a Crix jack.
Is it even 7? I think it's 6.
Yeah, sounds right. I don't actually play Crix.
But yeah, the other nice thing about these guys is, do you really care if you lose your movement? Not really.
Like, whatever. My death has gotten even worse. I still walk and shoot
things. Yep.
Next line is the Galvanizer.
Another incredible 3-point piece.
I gotta say, I only have it in 1 list where it's free. I don't like spending 3 points to not have a diffuser.
I have them in 2. And in 1 list, they are doubled.
Well, I mean, you get 1 for free if you accidentally stumble into the tier on Syntharion, which, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you, right? The guy's tier is like, take Convergence. Okay, here's your tier.
Yeah. Congratulations. You are the most obviously Warjack-focused caster that probably has ever been made.
Yeah, in the army that is about Warjacks, you are the caster who is a Warjack mechanic.
And if you just take Warjacks, we will give you 3 points. He's like, okay.
Am I missing something? Okay, thank you for your instructions. I picture his voice as being sort of modulated and like very matter-of-fact. Now I will upkeep synergy. Galvanizer, hit that model with your saw.
Oh, what does that voice remind me of? I suppose any random video game computer.
Get back in the spaceship, Dave. So yeah, I only have 1 of these where it's free. I'm not a huge Galvanizer fan. That shouldn't be taken as a slur on the Galvanizer, just in love with the diffuser and the corollary.
That's fair. I mean, at Repair 9, they're a really good repair bot, and they also have one of the better, I mean, they're POW 12 on their melee weapon, which is respectable for a 3-point piece.
Yeah. I think the Helldiver's POW 12 and it gets to be invincible.
Yeah. This makes other things invincible, like Primaxiums.
I do like repairing Primaxiums. Also, the Primaxium has a gun for a face, which is just stylish. What's up next is the Mitigator.
Sure.
This is the only light jack in the Convergence that I was like, meh.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like it.
It enables the gun line for some of the casters that aren't as good at it. Like, Lucant, I definitely wouldn't mind having a Mitigator in there. I have today to talk about, I don't have one in there, but I can definitely see bringing one. I like the Quake AOE, or the Puncture AOE, so even if you drift it, you're like, it's on 2s of Tickle Raiders. Die, assholes. Like,
yeah, I don't know, but too often it's like, ooh, it drifted onto Gorman. Oh, well. I guess he takes damage point.
Yeah, I suppose. So he's an anti-infantry piece and a knockdown piece.
Yeah, but the lists that need the accuracy buff for the knockdown, you know, tend to have him miss them. And the lists that, I don't know, I don't feel the knockdown thing happens as often as it ought to. Like if I want a light to knock something down, I'll slam it. It has to direct hit. If it could knock down on the drift, I'd be much more kind to it.
That'd be astounding.
Yeah. The Avengers like, what the fuck? 4 points? Yeah, I got 2.5 for you. We just knock everything down. Why do you suck so much? He's like, I don't know. Oh yeah, I'm a Centurion chassis.
I can see playing him with Directrix because she ups the range, and then on turns that she might otherwise need defeat, she wouldn't have to.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
And also it makes the harm very easy to happen. He's like, hey, I knocked you down.
Yeah.
Now you're going to take a lot of damage.
How do you feel now, fucker? Have some guns. And he's like, how did you get knocked down? There was a book.
The book got shot 5 times with the mitigator. There you go. Automatic.
Forcing a martyr. You know, yeah, the whole thing is a hellish cycle.
But yeah, so I think it has its place. I'm not sure that this one deserved to cost an extra point.
But. Yeah, that seemed to be a bit like, alright, okay. I probably wouldn't take him for 3.
Yeah, so I mean, at the moment, he's not in any of my lists.
Yeah, ditto. Mitigator, your name is silly. At least it's not the name of a dubstep song that I know of.
I mean, it probably is.
I said that I know of.
That you know of.
See, that was the
caveat.
Right. Caveat is a cool word. It reminds me of a calf eating. Cav ate. No, that's not what it means.
Assimilator. This guy's cool.
Yeah. There's no flaws in this jack. This is a fully good jack.
Or a special rule that is very unlikely to be relevant.
Yeah.
But stranger things have happened. In the mirror match, you'll be like, aha, heal D3 one time.
Yeah, he is fighting enemy infantry that are constructs. This is great. He's in like the tactical tips on him. They were like, what if he's fighting Woldstalkers?
Is he ground pounding them?
No, he's clawing them apart and healing. This is why you should never bring Woldstalkers. You just feed the enemy assimilator spam.
Oh no.
Terrible error. 11-18 is a really unfortunate stat line with a Slayer grid.
Especially when they also lose, what, 2, 3, 4 boxes against the other chassis?
Yep. I think it is 4 at least. 6. It's 6.
4.
You're right. It's 4.
No, yeah, it's gotta be. No, it's 4. It's 4.
It's 4. But at least this thing's got effectively passed 17.5 claw, which is pretty cool. And its gun is really good.
Yes.
I mean, ground pounder is great, or it can just be an AoE 4 gun, which is really nice. It has an excellent gun. I have assimilators in 3 lists.
I currently have assimilators in 0 lists.
I just love the fact that it can shoot stealth things. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, for sure. I can see being wrong about this guy, because I didn't see a spot where I was like, yes, I want an assimilator here.
I tend to, like, these guys and monitors are very, interchangeable in my mind, with this guy being slightly less survivable, but, I like his gun a little more.
Yeah. And he's a slightly better in melee. Depends on what you're fighting, I suppose.
He's naturally a Pathfinder. He's got an open fist with a Weapon Master. Okay, he's basically the same in melee, except he doesn't have sustained attack.
Right.
He's worse in melee. Anyway, I have him in a couple places. I've also got monitors in a couple places, but he is, like, my idea of what a Convergence Heavy wants to be like. It's like him and the monitor, you know, just like we're shooting good, and then we're okay in a fight.
Yeah, I can definitely see, if I was gonna put this guy somewhere, it would be in, my Directrix list isn't even finished, I don't know even what I want to play with her. I could definitely see having one in that list.
I like the fact that the 4-inch, what's it called, flare template scatters, and then this guy is like, I'm ground pounding where that is. Yep. Everything that was under that is now getting ground pounded.
That's pretty nice.
That's cool.
Directrix, that's rat 7 or 10.
Mm-hmm. And,
13 inches out.
And, it doesn't, like, a lot of the stuff that people actually rely on in the game, you know, elevation, stealth, doesn't work against it. And just lay the shit down. Being engaged, all that, just no.
Cover still helps.
Well, yes. But where would they find a rec marker in against a convergence list?
they don't have any way to get rid of those, do they?
You'd think that the assimilator would eat the wrecks, but he does not. He still destroys the construct. I was thinking he would eat wreck markers, but he did not do that.
Does he... No, he doesn't even RFP stuff. He doesn't even assimilate an RFP the constructs he kills. So no, there will still be wreck markers.
That's what I was hoping that he did, but he just heals up. Or, not heals, removes damage. It's an important distinction.
Yeah.
His head is in his chest, which is just weird.
I think all of the Speed 5s are. Actually, all of them are, pretty much. Just
the next one we're about to talk about has a gun for a face, which is just stylish.
I love him so much.
Cypher! Big fan?
Yep. I think 4 of my lists? Yes, 4.
I have him in 3.
And in 2 of the lists, he's doubled?
Wow, I haven't had him doubled any times. But I will agree that he's really good. Actually, only 2. I didn't fit him in Directrix. Weird. That might be a mistake.
I love AoE 4s that can be flares or craters or pyroslix blast damage. That's why there are 2 of them in, what's his name? Cyntharion, just so I can be like, shoot 2 all boosted blast 6. Just hot swap.
Yep.
Hot shot. Shoot 2 more all boosted blast 6.
But surely you're now out of focus. Oh, wait, no.
I've still got 4 left.
No, you can rain some fucking explosions down, especially if the enemy is, you know, rushing up really elite infantry on you. Just blow them up.
Yep. Arcing fire.
I give a fuck that your Bane Thralls.
This is why I haven't paid for attunement servitors in more lists, is just because I'm like, I've got Cyphers already.
I love that they're also got 2 POW 18 spikes, you know?
Yep. They're also
the fucking time comes to fight, they've got heavy weapons.
Yep, they are the most serviceable for fighting enemy heavies.
Yeah, they don't have the silly special rules for all the other guys. They're like, hey, look, I brought some POW 18s. We loving this so
and
much.
They're on the survivable chassis.
Yep.
And this guy, particularly with Lucant, I like him because he's another interesting option for Watcher. It's like one guy, it's like one model charges your Prime Axiom, and you're like, hold up. All right, move the Cypher.
Move, fire.
Drop a giant AoE rough terrain bitch. Template. And they're like, oh, now nothing else can get there. And you're like, oh, that's too bad.
I really was feeling like it was going to work out for you.
Or you let them all charge in, and you're like, yeah, it's a nice little thing. So, I like the Cypher a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
He has immense style. I only have 2, but that might be wrong. Like, I've played with him a bit, and there's a reason he's 9 points and the rest of them are 8.
Yep, I think so. I'd agree with that.
This next Jack
Conservator
is very interesting. I've only got him in 2 lists, my Lucant list and my Axis list. He's a pure fighting Jack in a faction that's a lot of combined arms.
Yep, he only punches things. He's in just one of my lists, just Axis.
But he is a shield guard, and he does frequently get Hand of Vengeance because servitors are everywhere.
Yep. He's also, oh wow, I did not notice on this chassis that their arm systems are in 4-5 rather than 5-6.
He's also got, 2 bucklers, so he's an 11-20 until, you know, he gets fucked up, which is actually a good stat line.
Yeah, is an 11-20 and his arms are harder to remove than...
Yeah.
They
and
are.
He's only 7 player. Points, and he's more accurate at fighting the rest of them. He's got open fists.
Yeah, because it'll be quiet a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, between Hand of Vengeance and fucking Flare, you're looking at +4 to hit with melee attacks.
Yeah, I mean, he's very serviceable. I obviously wish that he had Reach. But
well, yeah.
Because as standard fighting, I mean, that's John's mantra, is no Reach, no gun, I'm not really interested, but... Shield guard helps for that. Being dirty cheap helps for that. Having Pathfinder all the time. There are mitigating factors.
He's
being
got 2 open fists. That's a thing too.
Yep. No, I like him. He's in one of my lists. So.
Yeah, no, I've got him in two, and just generally, I feel finally to her. I also think he looks better. For me, like, his face seems to be in a, like, hunched forward face rather than, like, it's coming out of his chest. Which is, of course, you know.
I'm sure on the model it'll look like it's coming out of his chest.
No, he's, like, leaning forward in a bestial fashion. Not bestial like Chromax spell, because that stops my druids and I hate it. What is it about Chromax? Bestial. It's everywhere.
Bestial?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine if it was played less.
It should happen less. I don't play it, man. I don't play it much at all.
Thumbs up. Less Chromax. I approve. Get other people to do that.
I lack influence.
That I can continue to, well, if there are druids, I still have problems scourging and parasiting heavies, but. So hey. We need to combine you're not playing Chromax with other people's not playing druids, and then we'll all be in a happier place.
You can't possibly think that the world's circle players need to be worse. There are a lot of terrible circle players. No flies on anyone by name. All the circle players who I know the names of are good, but I will occasionally run up against circle players in, you know, just tournaments or just randomly out in the wild, and they are dreadful.
Well, I mean, that may be possible to be said of pretty much
all. Yeah, but if you fuck up Menoth or Krix, you accidentally get good shit.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're like, I took the things that look really cool, like the skeletons with the axes. And you're like, all right. You didn't want the pirate skeletons? Nah, those seemed lame. You know, what do you like over in the circle? He's like, oh, I love these, like, guys made of wood with their giant rock buddy. I'm like, oh.
Sadness.
They can turn into forests by sacrificing themselves, and the next round you can create them again.
Seems good.
I don't know why I've got Robin Boy Wonder for my imaginary circle player voice. That's not in any way what they sound like. What do you think though about the inverter?
I don't like it.
Come on, he's got reach.
Yeah, on a, I guess it's a 17 chain weapon, but.
I
initially thought the macro pummeler had reach, and I was a lot happier. And then I realized it doesn't, and I got sad.
Oh no, the weapon that you use a lot has reach. The effectively shield weapon is, you know, not reachy.
Yeah. My original iteration of Axis had two of these instead of two conservators, but then I realized that I wasn't expecting the Warjax to ever end up doing very much.
Yeah, except, the Warjax are there for shield guarding.
Yeah, except protecting the Enigma Foundries, so.
And then getting repaired by the Enigma Foundries?
Right, so I swapped them for conservators, which have more armor and hit about as hard.
I think this guy, you know, he's got a 17 to 20, they've got two 17s, if the stars align correctly. This guy hits harder, but, he also is one more point, and he doesn't have their cool rules.
Yep. I mean, I don't hate it. It's not, it doesn't currently make an appearance in none of my lists, but.
I have him in three.
In three, really? I would definitely consider playing him with Lucant for the amusing anecdotes of, oh, you done screwed up and triggered Watcher, now you're knocked down, and you took a boosted pow 20.
Like, Axis, that's fun. Axis has one for the occasional, bitch, I just countercharge you with the knockdown hammer.
Yep, that's fun too.
I have two of them with my Cintharion list, just being like, these guys have reach, and, you know, I can diffuser you for that long threat range fighting. They've got synergy, you know. Like, they're just basic fighting jacks like the conservators.
Yeah, having reach, they might be the only reach jack.
Yeah, they're the only reach jack.
So for that reason, I could see squeezing one into Lucant, or into Cintharion as well, just because it's a good finisher for the synergy chain.
Yeah,
especially if you're not playing an Axiom.
Cintharion is very much the guy who's like, oh, just give me a number of jacks. Really, synergy means I don't care too much about what any particular one is up to. I mean, you could probably make a case for Cintharion Galvanizer spam.
Yeah, that's tough, but you could, I suppose.
You know, like, here's a bunch of three-point jacks, a preposterous number. As soon as we start fighting, they start synergying. They all hand focus to each other, so they run for free. Let's go. They can repair each other if need be. I think a galvanizer cloud is something you'll eventually see at a tournament, and it won't be terrible.
Yeah, I could see it. I think there will be one or two heavies mixed in to finish the job, but and do some... Like, I could see, like, Cypher, and then fill with galvanizers.
Yeah.
And a corollary. Just have the two Cyphers to deal with some infantry problems and sort of help screen with rough terrain or whatever it is. And then...
Yeah, maybe even, I don't know, half galvanized, half to view, but, like, light spam could work. And I don't currently use that. My Centurion list is basically heavy spam, but inverters are some of the heavies that I spam.
Mm-hmm.
I like them a lot in terms of just being a fighting jack.
Having reach is big. And it's a reach chain weapon, which is never bad.
And a lot of the time you get to use the POW 20 knockdown hammer, and that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, bonk, okay, I can stop rolling to hit.
Yeah. Not having to roll to hit, always a good thing.
Plus, it means if you leave an asshole with 4 hit points, you can have, like, spike servitors or whatever shoot it.
Right.
The next guy, though, I was so enthused when I heard, like, the blurb on him, but somehow he just doesn't work for me.
At 6 points, you'd almost think it doesn't matter what he is. He's, like, a 6-point heavy. Like, I'm in. But, yeah.
I mean, I heard 6 points. I heard if infantry hit him, they take a POW 10, which will kill, you know, 90% of infantry. And then I heard about his cool guns, which are admittedly really cool, and the fact that they work if you shoot friendlies, and it seemed like he was just... so cool. You know, he is the anti-infantry heavy in this faction. But somehow, I always find myself springing the extra 2 points for an assimilator and being like, well, this does decent anti-infantry work too, and it can fight a heavy with its claw.
Yeah,
or this guy can do nothing to a heavy.
I usually find myself springing the 3 extra points and making a cipher happen.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he is just, he's an 11-18, he's super squishy, he's not doing much work to things that are not infantry unless you're playing Centurion.
Not even open fists.
Nope. He bonks you. He's basically just hitting you with guns.
Yeah, he is. He is slapping you around like a judo goat.
Ah, judo goat.
Another model that should be used more often than it is.
But yeah, and the emitter surges are only POW 10s too, so he's not like he's threatening even the medium base infantry with his guns. It's just... yeah. Maybe there's a use for him out there that I don't see. You could slip him into Centurion, because again, we mentioned Centurion doesn't really, he's not too fussed about what flavor he's got.
Yeah.
As long as...
he's like, oh, you're a heavy? Welcome aboard. You cost 6 points? Okay, we could spam you.
Yeah.
That would be a thing to try.
But the fact that you have to get, I mean, the nice thing about having a heavy in your synergy chain is that you don't have to work too hard.
Yeah.
Not have to do too much synergizing.
Well, I mean, even like 3 or 4, this guy is deadly.
You get it to be effective, and then with this guy, you have to get like 4 hits in before you can reliably expect. Yeah. Yep, yep. No, he made 0 of my lists.
I put him in 1. I stuck him in Directrix just because I'm like, I'm having a serious problem with infantry spam in this list, and the battle engine can't do it all. You know, you don't want to be like, all right, Directrix, and they're like, Peace Scar, and you're like, this will be hideous. I'm going to get run the hell over as monitors carefully take aim at individual Satixus Raiders. Speaking of which, we've got a monitor.
I like the monitor, unfortunately. Yeah. I like the monitor. I think I managed to not put him in any of my lists, though.
Wow, I'm totally confused by that. The monitor, along with the assimilator, to me, is like my embodiment of what is up with the you know, Convergence Warjacks. I've got 2 of them in one list, 1 of him in another, 1 of him in another, none in the Axis tier, because you're not allowed to, and 3 of them in my Aurora list. I love monitors.
No, hold up. There's 1 in Centurion. Got 1 in
He can kill Tartarus.
Yes.
That's nice. Pretty cool.
It's very nice. But I think Convergence doesn't care about Tartarus that much. They're like, okay.
Yeah, but...
and threshed some dudes.
Okay, more realistically, he can kill Gorman.
Yeah, that helps too.
You know, he can kill Iris. I mean, he's just... he can remove solos you don't like.
That. Boosted 6s will get there.
if the drifts are kind.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
I mean, I've using monitors, and especially the way that they build on having several of them, I really like the monitor gun line.
Oh, just trying to, because they're doing damage to important solos, picking up, or killing important solos, doing damage to heavies.
Yeah. Some of an enemy heavy advances, you know, it's a Warpwolf Stalker, runs up next to some druid and is like, rrr. And you're like, all right, you know, I'm Aurora. I give two to this one, one to each of the other two. It teleports forward 2 inches, aims, boosts the hit, boosts damage. Focus goes to the next guy, boosts hit, boosts damage. Next guy, boosts hit, boosts damage. If you got even like one crit in there, you might fucking kill the thing.
Yeah, for sure.
The ability, I don't know, I'm addicted to guns. I don't have any in my factions. And if you could imagine a circle guy with this guy's gun, it's staggering. It's a better gun than our Colossal has.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, yeah. I don't dislike this guy, for sure.
And he's got an open fist that also is pow 17 and is also sustained attack. So he can fight decently.
I definitely like this Warjack. I just
couldn't fit it in.
I just didn't see, I like the Cypher so much. And I think in some of my lists I may end up, because we're gonna explain why a lot of these Warjacks are not making an appearance very soon in my list. But, and I think in some of these that may change.
The arbitrary, you know, funny story about this caster is, I had a caster move forward with Pita Negra and she camped 4 and I just gunned her down. Huh. It's like 3 of these things advance and blow you away. Now they got 2 crits, which is, you know, a large amount of crits, but it was still a nice moment to be like, you're a stealth caster with, you know, a 4-point camp, and I managed to drift a flare on you and just blew you into the floor with these guys. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I hate it when things shoot my stealth stuff.
You're like, her. Maximum Security, or Max, our sort of Team ATL mascot, once played me with a 2-caster game. I had E. Nemo and Darius, and he had Peace Gar E. Gaspy, and I beat him without either of his feats getting off.
What?
It was among the more gloriously great moments ever. Peace Gar rolled 1 extra focus on the round and got shot to death by the storm wall. It rolled like a 16 for damage and then like an 18. Just
sad.
He's just looking at this board like, I can't believe that just happened.
Probably shouldn't.
And it was glorious. The equal parts telling that story because, you know, it fits in the theme of it's bad when they roll high, and then on the other hand, it's funny when bad things happen to Max.
Prime Axiom.
You know, this is going to be terrible when they come out with a character or Gargossel later. I guess they won't do it in this faction, but it would be the Epic Axiom, and everyone will get totally confused.
This is... I like this better than a lot of Colossals.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think he is unquestionably, in my mind, better than the Kraken. I believe that he is better than Hyperion. I think he's better than the Judicator.
That's tough. I've seen the Judicator put to some really good use lately. But he's definitely in line with some of the ones that see lots of play.
Yeah. I mean, those cables are cool as hell. And if the enemy's got a shield guard, and you're, you know, like a directric gun line or something, this, you can just immediately get it pulled out right there and be like, all right, I'm going to shoot a cable at you, and then I'm going to shoot another cable at you. You're shield guarding both of these, or you're getting murder fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a verb that I made up.
Disaster will ensue, guaranteed.
Oh shit, you got dragged over to the Prime Axiom. This is a bad place to be.
This guy is currently in 3 of my lists, which is why so many of the other heavies make no appearances. I would probably mix things up if there were not Prime Axioms in 3 of my lists right now.
I love that by spending 1 focus, he can shoot 8 times.
Yeah.
That just seems really good.
The fact that on Directrix's feat turn, he is extremely likely to kill 8 infantry models with 1 focus. That's just...
From a corollary, Natch.
Yes, that's just stunning. Yeah, that focus can come from pretty much anywhere.
Like, it was used by a galvanizer to run.
He will accidentally get that focus.
Yeah. And it's not dreadful in a fight. It's got two POW 20s with, Sustained attack.
Sustained attack is so good for a Colossal. It's just hitting these stupid angels or whatever is such a pain. He's like, I did it once. Woohoo! I guess I'll just roll this offhand attack to see if it hits by chance and then just buy a bunch of POW 20s into this automatically dead angel.
Fuck your angel. Yeah. And you get extra melee attacks for, dragon things, which is stylish.
Yep. So this is, it's gonna be, in a lot of cases, much like Galleon, where initial ranged is going to be superior to initial melee in most situations.
Remember though, that if you make the drag attack, you can no longer make additional attacks.
Hmm?
So if you drag someone in, you get an additional melee attack. If you make that attack, you're done with your initials. Read the tactical tip under tow cable, but not out loud.
So right.
There's a bit of an order thing.
Under drag, it says, after resolving this melee, it says, after the model is damage model is moved, this model can make one normal melee attack, and then after resolving it, it can make additional melee attacks.
Yeah, you can buy other attacks.
Yes, so you can go, for example, you can go like, shoot a tow cable, pull a guy in, punch him, shoot some Acela spikers, shoot another tow cable, pull a guy, punch him, then buy attacks. Just if you buy an attack, you lose all your other initiatives.
No, I'm not sure it works that way, but
I play Galleon a lot, and I've spent a lot of times on the forums bothering the Infernal Penguin to tell me how exactly it works.
I think it's plausible that you cheat with Galleon a lot. Right. Like, I don't think the fact that you use it a bunch that way to mean that you're doing it right. You know, you might just be cheating.
No, I mean that I've asked that question on the forums and gotten answers from Infernals.
You're saying that now, but I have no reason to believe you.
Don't make me pull the threads up, because I'll do it.
How would I possibly be able to see the thread, man? We're just here talking. In this room.
Just have to take my word for it.
Yeah. The word of an E. Well, you are at least...
Because otherwise you could only shoot one tow cable.
You just don't tow things, obviously.
Oh, okay.
It's somewhat complicated, I grant you. All right, let's get to the meat of this thing. Enough discussions of other things. Let's talk about the casters. What is your ranking of the casters?
Prime axioms did you put in?
Oh, I had one. List, I had one prime axiom.
One.
Sorry, yep. I have one prime axiom. It is in... my prime axiom is in Directrix's list.
Gotcha. I have them currently in Lucant, Directrix, and Syntharion.
I have a lot of trouble with... I definitely agree that it could be great with Lucant. I like synergy a lot with Syntharion, and consequently, you know, having a 19-point model is very anathema to me. But certainly, he runs Jax really well, and... Even like a 2-point synergy gain, Prime Axiom will rip a hole in the world.
Yeah. I figured you'd like the threat range on the assassination.
Oh, God.
Syntharion, where he's just like, alright, so we're gonna, defuse this guy, and then magnetic hold over here, and then Prime Axiom's gonna charge for days, and then... That was right up your alley.
This was a feat turn, so those things also punch stuff before they shot the diffuser gun, so it's massively high on the old synergy chain.
Yep. Anyway, my caster ranking, I put Papa Lucant on top.
Okay, I agree with you. He is the best caster.
Because his spell list is dumb, and also his feat is dumb.
Both of these things are true.
And he's immortal. Nearly immortal.
I think his field marshal is not stellar, but his feat is so stupid and his spells are so staggeringly great that it makes up for it.
His field marshal is interesting because the way I have built the list with the axiom in it, it doesn't get to do a lot of shield guarding. But
I do love the idea of the axiom jumping in the way of a gun. You're like, what just happened?
I think it's more interesting because it's just... One of the Convergence's biggest fears is going to be, like, Lord Arcanist Ossian. They share the Protectorate's dread of Lord Arcanist Ossian. And...
He's less scary if you call him Ossian. It just doesn't seem as dignified.
True. But Lucant with Shield Guard can sort of even when Ossian decides to get uppity and try to feat and kill your whole world, like with judicious shield guarding, you might be able to save some lives and then feat back and repair everything.
Well, deceleration, you know, I imagine what you're going to try and do is the round he needs to feat, you want to be feeding and have deceleration up and be like, all right, with the non-strike force, this is a big deal.
Yeah, to limit them to just like those stupid stormfalls aren't doing any work.
Yeah. You needed to feed this turn, but you couldn't because I was feeding this turn. Now you better feed defensively or I will gun you down like a dog.
Giving me another opportunity to get rid of more strike force so that deceleration.
Go, modulator!
Yeah. Yeah.
Cypher, another way that could happen. I don't, like, I've got Master Shake in my meta and Discordia is everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. you can't kill all the strike force because they cluster around the stupid thing.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But I think we all agree Lucant is the best.
It seems to be the general consensus.
For me, it's just positive charge combined with purification. I'm in love. I'm like, he makes the Jax fight harder and he gets rid of upkeep spells. Like the rest of his spell list is great, but he sold me at those two and having an armor feat.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the defensive feat on him. And a lot of times I'm not like, all gung-ho about offensive feat or defensive feats. I prefer in general offensive feats or control feats, but
we're very different. I love defensive. Well, I consider control feats to be defensive feats, but feats that prevent the enemy's turn from being good as opposed to feats that make my turn great is the way I prefer to do things.
Yeah. The feats that I would call control feats as opposed to like the pure defensive feats, like P-Striker's feat, nothing but defensive. Lucant's feat, nothing but defensive. Denegra's feat, control.
Denegra's feat, I would call a composite feat. It makes your turn better and the enemy's turn worse.
Sure. So, also, I mean, you know, control lawsuits. Feats are my favorites, followed by offensive feats, followed by defensive feats. But his is in a, like, pristine defensive feat. It's stellar. So.
Who do you think is the second best caster in the Convergence?
I waffle on this point. I would make an argument for, it being the girls, Aurora or Directrix.
So I consider Directrix to be considerably better than Aurora.
Hmm.
I feel like Aurora is another example of the sort of archetype that does not work. You know, she's like, I'm hitting and running. It's like steamroller forces you to stay and fight. And she's like, okay, I want to fight personally. It's like, you'll be killed. All you need to give your focus at. Okay, I can't go forward to fight personally. I've got admonition. I hope nobody shoots it with an iris bolt.
Yeah, I think she is one of the casters who solves a different problem in this faction. I'm not excited about playing a lot of Convergence casters if I'm seeing Krix across the table.
Aurora's like, Transference and True Path, go, warrior models!
Yeah. Exactly. So she does something different. And yeah. I think doing something different is going to make her a second caster that you see a lot of the time. Because you're like, I want to play all these Jax and make them stompy and powerful and get them across the field and kill stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, oh God, it's P-Scar, what do I do? And Aurora's like, I have an answer. And you're like, oh, thank you. I'll play you as my second caster then. So.
Well, I guess every caster needs to have some partisans. I had her as fifth.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, I think she solves problems that the other casters don't, which is why I would rate her higher. But yeah, my other choice would be Directrix because she also has a damage buff and is just, you know, a monster.
I had her at third, but I can certainly see the push for her to two. Directrix, I just love the fact that she's a pure, you know, she just makes guns better. She's like, we've got the harm gun. Every round, harm can go out. Even if the enemy's not targetable by spells, harm can go out wherever the hell it needs to go. That's great to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And she's got an awesome gun herself. Yeah, we're kind of doing the casters instead of the thing. Let's actually talk about these casters and you know, do the whole thing. And, you know, as we go through each caster, it'll become clear where we rank them.
Okay.
Aurora.
So I have her in the 2/3 spot, because I think she solves a different problem. Transference allows her to make her melee troops extremely accurate, especially if you're throwing in flares. Flashing Blade. She's got that goofy assassination, which I don't love, but it's there.
It's like Ikaya, where you're like, that will save you some games. You know? Yeah. While losing, I can throw this shit out, and maybe it'll work. And I've had it happen.
She gives the Clockwork Angels combined melee attack, which I think...
they were not crying out for.
They weren't, but at the same time, like, on her feet turn, because she's going to... You play her in theme, realistically. You're going to be playing her in theme.
I did play her in theme.
So that's 5 units of Clockwork Angels. So if a heavy starts moving up on you, you can charge in with the whole, like, here's a POW 15, get away. Here's a POW 15, get away. Here's a POW 15, get away.
Yep. The getaway is also preposterous. Like, they're, you know, she's like, Aurora feeds, cast True Path, moves up. Angels activate, charge 12 inches, reach a half, pound that heavy, back up 7, back up 3.
Yep.
I mean, damn.
Or back up, yeah, back up 7, back up 3, yeah. They get far away. She definitely needs an anchor to sit in the zones as she's running everything else away. I have 2 ciphers in her list which fill that hole quite nicely. I also like teleporting cipher. She might have my favorite
field
marshal.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. She has my favorite field marshal.
Threat extension.
Considerably good. Threat extension, also the threat extension of the aiming, you know, break it locks, get out of range, change your facing, everything about it is great.
Yep. Admonition is a phenomenal spell. So, I mean, she has, I don't think convergence casters need much to still run an effective battle group. And then she also runs, her melee, her troops better. So, I think she's got a lot of different interesting angles. And she doesn't need to be hitting stuff to be effective, because she also has a hand cannon. Nothing wrong with a hand cannon. It's rat 4, true. Which isn't great, but.
It's magic. She's something.
Yep. Absolutely.
I gotta say that, I don't generally take troops with convergence, so my view on her was that she is trying to run a battle group basically only on the strength of her field marshal, and graded as it is, I didn't see that as good, plus 11th hour is not the best feat I've ever seen. If you, you know, are using effectively, only troops, so. Or, not troops, only jacks. It's, only you know, jacks, they're moving 4, so. It may be that I did her wrong, and that's why I don't like her much.
I built a troop heavy list with her. It's got the 15 angels in it. And then some servitors as well. So, I mean, the servitors are not going to benefit from the elimination servitors are not going to benefit. Not sorry, the reflex servitors are not going to benefit from 11th hour because they're going to blow up. But the elimination servitors can.
The rubble floats backward.
Yep.
One thing I do have to say for her is she pins people like nobody's business. I've had her be like, I'm going first. These, you know, speed 4 heavies crawl up to the 11 inch line. Before the game begins because of the tier benefit. Then, on top one, they teleport 2 inches forward, so they're now, you know, 13 inches up? They run 8. They're, on top one, my heavies are clustered at the edge of the 12x6 rectangles. So on bottom two, anything the enemy puts in that rectangle zone is not just getting shot by aiming angels who were stealth so they didn't get shot down, they're getting shot by an aiming battle group.
Right.
And, the enemy, therefore, generally, on bottom one, does not meaningfully contest the zone with anything that will survive top two. So, bottom two, they need to come into the zone and prepare to take, you know, effectively your battle group hit and run. So she pins down very well, and just in terms of, like, the math as to where everything works out to be.
Yeah, she sets up some very favorable engagements. I also think that, because of that, she's gonna have solid scenario play.
Yeah, I mean, she's never going to be, like, one of the top scenario casters just because her feet doesn't stop the enemy from moving.
Right.
But she's the best captor I've seen for the enemy having to just move into my threat range time and again. You know? I get to hit on top 3 and then I get to hit on top 4 before they really get to hit back very well.
Yep.
I had her as 5th and you had her as 2nd?
2nd or 3rd, yep.
And now we come to Axis, the Harmonic Enforcer. We're both like, this is a skew caster.
Absolutely, yeah. He plays in theme.
But
we didn't lose, cool. Like, we haven't been not recording for the last 20
minutes. We're back, no, it, as we stepped into Axis, it was like, you didn't press the thing for 30 seconds, this downloaded version of a multi-call recorder is done. I'm like, no, stop it. But we're back.
It's like playing Space Alert. You have to jiggle the mouse every once and again. Now and again.
I'm fortunate that I saw that that had happened before it actually lost us any time. Anyway, we both saw Axis, and much like, you know, E-Baller or someone else, you were like, hey, this is a Skewcaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
He skews like a boss.
Built the theme for us, filled it full of dudes. So he and Aurora are the two casters that are like, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
They play a very different list for me. When I built them, I was like, this is going to be something that's not the same. It's not going to look like what the other convergence lists look like. And because of that, they make interesting choices for second casters.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
I have trouble when I'm thinking of a two list convergence being like, I would play Lucantin Directrix, or I would play Lucantin's Therion or Directrix, any of those three. I feel like your second is going to, a lot of the times, end up being Aurora or Axis just for the doing something different.
I mean, Axis is, 40 infantry blitz backed up by the guys that resurrect them and his battle group, you know, after that, is a very serious list.
Yes, I agree.
It is easy to lose to this list.
Definitely.
Especially because once you're in this sea of getting resurrected dudes, he moves his battle group up and you have to deal with his feet. Axis is a very real feat.
Yes, it's a really, really good feat.
It's one of those you would call control feat, or I would call a composite feat. But he feats, his battle group slams into you like a hammer with the +2 strength bonus and the +2 speed, and you don't get to fight back because A, you're jammed like a motherfucker with all these jerks, and B, you're -2 speed.
Yeah, and strength, which is relevant.
Yeah, definitely.
It can be very relevant. Having Pathfinder pretty much all the time is for his army is really good.
Yep.
The only reason that there's a corollary in his army is because that makes his feet so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So much better.
I didn't
feel like I needed the corollary to run the jacks, but I felt like the 2 extra inches for his feet to more realistically catch my opponent's army was going to be worthwhile.
I went the conservators and one inverter, and then 40 dudes, 4 of the resurrecting dudes, and the Optifex directorate. Just said, okay, look, this is as simple as it can be. There's a column of infantry coming to the table backed up by warjacks. Fight through or lose.
Yep. In the rankings, though, I actually put him as 5th.
I have him as 4th, and I think he can be... in an E-Balder sort of a way, there are lists that cannot defeat him. You know, you can run into otherwise well-balanced lists. They're going to take a look at Axis, look at what he's playing, play the game a couple times, and be like, I need to change my list because you cannot handle this. There are too many guys. They get resurrected. Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't, really, realistically, if you don't have a plan for handling the Enigma Foundries, you're going to have a bad time.
And the Enigma Founders have 2 or shield guards and can repair each other. I mean, it's not easy.
Right. It has to be. You have to have some pretty serious
and if you,
concentrated firepower or even...
If like, your plan for damage. Getting to them, you know, like, let's say you've got the double shift, stalker, right? You primal your stalker, shift it twice, and it kills 2 Enigma Founders. You've still just traded 10 points for 4.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not... sprinting back through all the dudes, and now you've lost the stalker for 4 points of dudes. Now, they were an amazingly effective 4 points, and they're very important, and I'm unhappy to lose them, but ultimately there's a total of 8 points of Enigma Foundry.
Yeah, and I will trade for your stalker every time.
Yeah,
like, that's fine.
The stalker is an amazing trade for. I'll trade your conservator.
and the conservator will follow up and kill that Warpwolf Stalker, because it's now, you know, mat 9 and power 17.
Someone will. He's over on our side, you know. Axis will bop him. Like, he doesn't have anything to do with his focus. Axis is serious, like, I give out 1 focus so my jacks can run. I cast my wall each round. I'm upkeeping Onslaught. I am behind a line of these large base solos, behind jacks, behind soldiers. I'm getting letters about this battle. You know, I'm hearing a dictograph from the guy in the front who's like, yeah, there's like some blood trackers or whatever. They killed 12 guys, but they all came back each turn. Things seem to be pretty good. Some chick is riding a goat around. She's resurrecting the enemy, so I don't know. Like, get a comic book.
This could go on for some time.
How are the warjacks doing? So, yeah, I had him as 4th, but he could be better.
Yep. I agree.
Iron Mother Directrix. And Exponent Servicers.
Three spot with her daughter in my rankings.
I have her as third, and with following closely behind Cytherean and Lucant, just because she's so blunt about what she does. Like, two of her five spells only work on Warjacks.
Yep. She's like, War Machine, I hate you. Also, we're going to shoot you quite a bit.
Yeah. I brought so many guns. Is everyone here affected by guns? Okay, cool. It may be that as an Ebalder player, I am unnaturally prejudiced against her. I'm like, I don't see what you think you're going to accomplish. And she's like, boy, are you not my opponent. What the fuck happened that we're playing? Why are there so many shield guards?
How did I end up across the table?
This is going to be an embarrassing game.
Really bad.
Don't make me arc at your drone. Damn it.
Her gun is spectacular.
Yeah, that gun is really impressive. Range 11, POW 15, AOE 4. Might very well be POW 17, because her servitor might shoot you first. And it can be range 13.
So the trick is keeping her effective without her dying.
I feel like that's, in general, a convergence problem. I'm gonna rant on the subject for a second, having played Convergence for a little while and feeling somewhat verified in doing so. Convergence kind of works like a Hordes faction, in that your caster spends the majority of their focus each round because the Jacks are doing all the work, and, you know, you've got cool spells even if they aren't. But unlike a Hordes faction, you don't have transfers. You're not safe on two focus the way you are on two fury. Mm-hmm. I've been assassinated a lot more than I'm used to in the Convergence. You know, someone would be like, man, Cytherean's got me in the ropes. Druids drag him in and kill him. I'm like, shit.
And a lot of them have pretty solid defense. Like, they all have solid defensive stat lines. You're not looking at any 14-14s in this.
Yeah, game. They're not dreadful, but, you know, if you have two focus, nobody in this list will survive an enemy being like, now I'm killing you.
Right.
You know, if Egas defeats, you're over. And they don't have special rules that protect them, you know. Like, the army kind of operates like a Hordes faction, but Hordes factions are much safer at low fury than War Machine factions are at low focus.
Yes, that's true.
So I get assassinated a lot with my Convergence.
That's one of the reasons why I like Aurora's, is admonition is one of those things that makes you safer.
Especially against Kricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
My disdain for the Steel Soul Protector may be coming back to bite me here.
Yeah, like, you might end up
Iris
playing that.
Iris wouldn't have shot me if I didn't have a shield guard around somewhere.
Yep, that is true. But yeah, I like pretty much everything about Directrix.
I wish she had spells that I wanted to cast more often. I find her a lot of the time being a focus battery. Like, she casts Fire Group, she boosts the things on her gun, and she's giving the rest of her focus out, is my general experience with Directrix.
Yeah, she doesn't have any like she would definitely appreciate having a rockin' debuff or I guess a nuke of, like, she would appreciate convection quite a bit or something like that. Just something that she can be like, yeah, I'll just kill three guys.
Yeah, convection would be pretty cool with her. But just if they're not a War Machine faction, I find her being like, I am shooting at these elephants. I wish they weren't quite so angry. Stupid frog.
Shrapnel Swarm's not a bad spell by any means, but...
It isn't, but to cast it, you haven't given three focus out to your battle group.
I play a corollary with her, so...
Yeah, well, fair enough. I felt like with this, her having not really any spells that I wanted to cast, for the most part, other than Fire Group, she's the only one that I didn't take a corollary with that I really could've. I was just like, you know, I can handle this. I'm an 8 focus caster, with my focus going the distance.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't disagree with that. Also, she's already a 16 control area and has the and her feet only needs to hit the friendlies.
Also, her faction or her battle group, the way I build them, shoot a lot, so they tend to need two focus rather than three.
Mm-hmm.
I love those little bastards, the zappy eyes.
Yes,
Exponent Servitors are great.
The best servitors.
Yeah. By far. I love that they appear, and frequently they appear and aim. You're like, oh no.
Rad 7 this time.
Ominous. Feet turn.
They are or are not affected by her feet.
I will look it up while we talk. Because they have the rules for Warcaster units in this. I think they are part of her battle group. But I'm not 100%. Warcaster units, battle group. The other models in a Warcaster unit are part of this battle group. So, because her feet affects battle group.
Oh, no.
No, it doesn't. Damn it.
It's just her. Never mind.
So, yeah, no.
It's quite obviously that it does not affect.
Yeah.
Syracuse.
I don't know why I looked that up. I should have read it first.
Just read the feet. Direct versus Man Rat. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little sad.
Oh, well. They still frequently, there's a, you know, a flare going on or what have you.
5, aim 7, flare 9. Seems pretty solid. It's a little better than Ayana.
Yep. And you have 2 tries.
We talked about Lucan. We like him the best.
Yeah, Lucan is the best.
Silly.
Because...
And he's the hardest to kill of their casters.
Yeah, a lot of times what I end up casting with him is positive charge. Like, purification, frequently you don't need to cast because since you have it, they don't put out the defensive upkeeps.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes I'll be like, positive charge. If they have no real guns, I just upkeep Watcher and I cast positive charge, and that's my thing.
Also, pretty much, I would say of all the purification casters, he has the lowest opportunity cost for casting it.
Yeah.
He's like, do I have 3 focus lying around? Yes, I absolutely do.
Let's turn off all this fire. Fuck.
It's not really bothering me, but...
Yeah. Just seems undignified to be always on fire.
Having to roll for it is annoying, so...
Yeah. It's slowing down my game. Fuck this time clock.
Because, I mean, with the corollary running the battle group, with positive charge and deceleration being the only other things you really want to cast, I think you can't do all 3, I guess, but...
The only real thing I wish about him is, you know, he's this large base caster. I wish he was stompier. I wish he could fight...
He's POW 16.
Eh. He's kind of got a gentle mat. You know, mat 6, POW 16 is not.
He can positive charge something.
That's true.
And he's 818. Yeah. 818's quite respectable.
You're right.
With 5 focus to go.
You know what? I didn't think about positive charge working on him, but of course it does. Good point. Okay.
He just has to have
fair
a warjack nearby. He fights just fine, I think. And he's got reach, which is quite nice.
True. Reach is a thing. Does he have a magic weapon? Yes, he does.
Of course he does.
Yay, Apogee. Hey, stall.
And it's got stall on it, because why not?
The fucking, what's-her-face, Aurora has stall, too.
Does she?
Yeah. She's got stall on her sword. Or it's not a sword.
Mechanical seizure.
Oh, no, it's stationary. It's better than stall.
It is. Isn't stall still a continuous effect?
Yeah, it is. Def 7, no running and charging. I read off the
shake
tape.
That.
And then last we have Syntharion. I rated him 2nd.
So I guess for me he is 4th.
Fair enough. I will freely confess that he depends a little much on upkeeps. Probably for my taste. But
he doesn't have to pay for them. But if purification happens, he's probably pretty sad.
I'm a man who's like, you know what, this is a synergy caster in an army who loves battle groups, and, he's got a corollary to fix his battle group, you know, to give it the focus. So his battle group is just fighting you, and it gets better as the turn goes on. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, rating him 4th does not mean to think that he's bad by any stretch of the imagination. The only caster that I even have any reservations about playing competitively is Axis, and I think he's fine too.
No, with the tier,
force.
Yeah. With his weird zombie army.
But yeah, I think between the gap between my top rated Father Lucant and 4th rated Syntharion is pretty tight.
Yeah, I mean, in any small faction you've got that where you're like, you know what, it's really mostly about the fact that these are ball and jacks and they give each other focus.
Field Marshal Auto Repair is probably going to be one of the most consistently useful Field Marshals out there.
Yeah. I once had an inverter start out of control radius with heavy damage on it. You know, it had like all its systems broken. By the time it activated, the Synergy Jane was at 3. It was in control radius, had 3 focus points, and had repaired all its systems. I was like, damn, Convergence. You really don't give a fuck. This is effectively a war beast. I mean, it's not technically, but it sure feels like one.
Yeah, absolutely. All his upkeeps do good things. He has a gun that he can use to some effect. He has the best static stats, for the Mat Rat, for the Warjacks, being 6'5".
6'5" is as good as it gets.
And his defensive stats are nothing to sneeze at. His actually 13-18 is one of the ones I like more, because he'll probably be camping. His two camp is more impressive than a lot of the two camps.
I mean, right. I also, it feels almost like there's two modes on him. Versus Purification Casters, he just resigns himself to recasting Synergy each turn, but he can totally do that and tries to get, you know, Magnetic Hold where it wants to go. But if you actually let him, like, play the game he wants to play, you've got Hotshot raining down on you, you've got a reconstructed Jack being a pain in the ass. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, in my list with him, it's like the prime axiom is being a bully, because killing it is improbable, and it's dragging things and killing lots of infantry. And then he's putting Hotshot on the both ciphers every turn, so they're just raining down doom or making your life miserable with Rough Terrain templates, whatever happens to be better. And then there's also, so yeah, it's Cypher, Prime Axiom Monitor with a Galvanizer and a Diffuser is his battle group that I'm playing him with, and that just seems like there's so much that they can do.
I took him with a Corollary, two Diffusers, a free Galvanizer, two Monitors, a Cypher, two Inverters, an OptiVex Directorate, and two Flare Server units.
Yep,
look at my giant battle group. Yep.
I have one Arknode and two OptiVex Directives, so my plan is to repair lots and lots of things.
I love that you can, my battle group with him, I believe, has five heavies and four lights, and I do not see a problem with this.
Like, yeah.
We're doing this. There's nothing wrong with this army, and if it is, it's not that I'm going to run out of focus.
Nope. They're going to spend it just fine. The lights run really efficiently normally, and the heavies run fairly efficiently.
Yeah. His feat's also pretty pimp.
It is. It's not one of those feats that's going to be like, oh no, Syntharion feated.
Yeah. Oh,
it's all
shit.
Over.
Why did I forget about Epic Negra's feat?
Right, but it's going to be one of those where it's like Syntharion's feat is going to get more work done. It's going to be useful.
Yeah. I mean, free charges all by itself is cool.
And is there a way to get this guy in metal, or is he only in resin?
I think he's only in resin, and he's a pain in the ass to assemble. He has 8 arms on each side. He has 16 arms.
The and they're all
boggles.
Separate.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if they'll ever release him in metal like they did all the battle box casters for the rest of the world.
Seems likely. I mean, things that happen for one faction tend to happen for another. Like, if you have 2 jacks on a chassis, you may expect that eventually they release a third and then a plastic kit. Happened for the goats.
Yep. No, but yeah. I pretty much like all the casters. Axis is the one that I don't actually like.
I don't know. He exactly suits my style. He is a stomping, thrashing machine. I'm the sort of guy who looks at Crix and I'm like, Terminus is the right caster. Similarly, I'm like, Axis has more hammers than other casters.
I like his feet. I feel like otherwise I would be bored playing this caster. But
you
and
can
I
make
also
robot noises while the other players
I don't care
moving.
For his fluff. Which
stomp,
also
stomp, 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 stomp.
All the other ones look cooler too.
No, what? Come on, hammers. Syntharion doesn't look cooler than anyone.
I don't know.
Look at Syntharion.
I kind of like his floatiness and the sarcophagus center.
That is kind of cool.
The Swiss Army arms are a little bit. I can take them or leave them.
I'm hoping we get more Cyrus fluff, which introduces us more to the other casters. In the current one, at the beginning, Aurora thinks about each of the other casters, and she's like, there sure are 4 other casters. And, you know, brief descriptions. And then there's more, obviously, about the fact that Directrix is, you know, a big deal to Aurora and is not thrilled about her losing to an old man. But,
This is the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
I was talking. I was trying to think of where this came from. I haven't read the Convergence.
Dark Convergence.
Dark Convergence. But I have read the fluff in the book itself, and that's all about Father LeConte.
You're like, man, Morten Ever is starring in this fluff. That's a bit weird.
Yep. But it was before she was Morten Ever.
Yeah, she's very stylish. I've been playing her lately. A lot of things going on with her.
I don't care for.
We are different people, you and I.
Indeed, indeed.
And the world goes around because of this. We have my righteous correctness and your writhing evil. I say potato, you slobber and swear. All right, everyone, I think that's about wrapping up our convergence. Oh, wait, here's a question. If the whole convergence set of miniatures are released, let's, you know, imagine that they allow you to proxy in a tournament. Where do you feel convergence sits as a faction in terms of its competitiveness?
I think it's right around the...
bottom.
It's in the mercenary Kador...
Yeah. So basically the top three War Machine factions and the top three Horse factions are like the first two tiers. And then below those, there's a sort of the murky depths. And down in this murky depths lives the Convergence at this time. This is not to say they have bad releases or that Privateer has not done an awesome job with them. It's just when you only have one thin book and the other guys are like, wow, I forgot we had that kind of, what does that heavy even do? you've got a problem. And, you know, then Gorman doesn't work for you, and it's just, it is still uphill fighting for you.
I like them a lot, and I think they're certainly competitive in the same way that mercenaries are certainly competitive. And
that's the way of not being competitive.
They do enough different things that, I mean, I wouldn't be upset about playing them in a tournament.
I think that they can win in the same way that, like, Retribution can win, and I love that they do a different thing. Like, they are a battle group shooting, or, you know, a generally battle group focused War Machine army, and more so even than Menoth, and I think that's unique and cool and new. I wouldn't expect that I would win an awful lot if I was like, Convergence, this is happening, but, I think that it's fun.
I think we may have different opinions about how wide the gap is between the top and bottom factions. Because I think it's that if you, like a good Retribution player, could certainly expect to win tournaments.
Right. I don't think that. And I mean, he could win some tournaments, but you would say that the good Crix player has an advantage over him.
Yeah.
Crix is gotten more stuff, and more of that stuff is good stuff. And there were mistakes made when certain Crixian models, like the Warwitch Siren, were just, what is up with that model?
No, she's fine.
You're lying with your mouth.
She and the Statixis Raider Captain are both fine.
Why would you say such hurtful things? But I think Convergence has a great start here. They basically need the equivalent of like what Wrath was for Retribution, where they were like, wow, this Banshee and Ossian is some amazing things. How'd you get the rest of you guys do? And Crix is looking at Erebus, and they're like, I don't think they're failing us, guys. I mean, I don't hate it, but where was the new Tartarus? And Privateer is like, we have some problems with you winning everything. All the things. You could use Gatsby 3 instead of Gatsby 2, please.
I'm not going to do that.
A different thing will happen.
But no, the fact that they came down with two chassis, and they came down with the Prime Axiom, and they came down with a really solid set of five casters. Like,
there are no stinkers
among these casters.
Yeah, none of these casters are awful.
And, like, actually, where I feel the mopiest about Convergence is when I'm paging through the units, and I'm like, eh, I could leave all of these at home and not feel too bad about it. Except the Clockwork Angels. Like, the Clockwork Angels is the one unit that I'm like, yeah, these guys are sweet.
I'm kind of a fan of the spraying dudes.
Yeah, they're solid.
Like, I have sprays, fucker.
And there are very few things paging through that I'm like, wow, I would never play this. I can see no situations in which I would play this model. I don't see very many of those.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything that both of us didn't have. Maybe, you know, there were the javelin throwing, the perforators.
The two different medium base units I don't have in either.
Yeah. Ditto.
And then the modulator.
I feel like they inhabit the bottom tier of War Machine factions, but they're still in the War Machine faction list. And for a just straight, like, we're a newly created faction, that's an accomplishment, you know?
Yeah, they're in a stronger position. And this is by design. They're in a stronger position than when Retribution was first released. They might even be better than Retribution is once they're fully out, they may be in a better place than Retribution is in now.
They're not elves, so they have that going for them. I think they're in a better place than minions are now.
Oh, certainly.
I also think they're in a better place than mercenaries are now. then that's obviously much more contentious. But sure. I think that they're in a better place than both of those are.
I feel that Mercenaries is a truly competitive faction, and I would rate Convergence Rider in the same area.
I feel that Mercenaries are a faction, and Convergence is a slightly better faction. Okay, I posted a thing like a year ago in the Muse boards, and someone was like, oh my god, Bard Galleon, you know, Mercenaries. And I was like, Mercenaries don't win anything, and, you know, please someone show me wrong, make some Mercenary list that I fear. And like a year and a half has gone by, and Mercenaries are still just about to show their true power. Right? I mean, what has been won by Mercenaries?
Crump almost won Adepticon. Mm-hmm. Second? Mm-hmm. Second's not bad.
No, it isn't, but I mean, most other factions have some seconds too.
Yeah, that's true. Probably every faction has some seconds. Pretty much every faction has their firsts.
I mean, they did the 2012 thing, and Mercs were like 11th by a wide margin. I think they were below Minions.
The 2012 thing?
Paradox collected like the whole stats for a year.
Oh, right, right.
I mean, I just, not a giant Merc fan. But I think Convergence are better than them, so that's really what I should be focusing on, is the nice things that I'm saying about Convergence, and not my needless antagonizing of people. But, I mean, they chose to play Mercs. Could they even remember that they don't like me?
This is like how I needlessly antagonize Retribution players who complain about how bad their faction is.
I sort of copy you. Like, you are kind of my role model.
The point is needlessly antagonizing people.
Well, yeah.
And on that note.
All right. And on that note, we're going to be done podcasting. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this. And if we annoyed you, take it out on Keith.